listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, gators and grannies, boys and girls, and you ladies and gentlemen, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on ShakingWeekRadio.com. Welcome to the show. We are viewer-supported stations, folks, so I always start my shows off with a little plug for the stations. If you can afford any kind of donation towards them, I know they would much, much appreciate it. There's lots of work that goes on behind that people never get paid for, but we're not here to get paid. We're here to spread the word. So if you feel like what's going on, please try and reach into your pocket a little bit. And that being said, thanks to Steve for producing my shows, because I always forget at the end. Couldn't do this without you, Steve. Thanks a lot. And, of course, I'm joined by a very good friend of mine today, a gentleman I've got to talk with for probably 7, 8, I don't know how many years now. I've lost track. But, Roger, welcome back to the show. And I know we talked before the show started, and there's a couple things I asked you to do, so let's start off with that. Always good to have you back, my friend.
It's always good to be here. Okay, so what did you ask me to do? Hold on a second. Here we go. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Oh, no, wait a minute.
That's at the end of the show, Roger. Come on, we don't want to scare him away yet, buddy. Come on.
All right. Look. Let's start this all off by something that most people don't think is connected to everything we see, the turmoil going on around us, the stuff we're neck deep in, okay? All of us, doesn't matter who you are unless you're an elite. Let's talk about something that nobody would plug in, or very, very, very few, into this equation, but it has a significant part in what we are seeing and what we are, I don't know, having to deal with on a day-to-day basis today, and that's 5G. Let me tell you a little bit about 5G, okay? 5G, even though you were locked down and locked out, 5G continued its build-out. And in some cases, they used military personnel to do the build-out. This is going to be completed. We're looking at the beginning of a technocracy being built all around us. This is not a joke. I call it a corporatocracy, all right? And one of the mechanisms that will help them to keep a massive population in line is 5G. And you ask me, but Roger, how can that possibly be? And I'm going to tell you. Let's talk about 5G. What is it? 5G is microwave frequency. Let's talk about that for a second. Because I've actually said most of what I'm about to say on this show, but it was a considerable time ago, 5, 6, 7 months ago. I want you to try something, and actually I don't, because most of you probably have done this by accident. You're going to know exactly where I'm going. I want you to take an aluminum, steel, I don't care what it is, as long as it's metal. I want you to put it in a microwave, and I want you to shut the door and turn it on. And you can look as your microwave tries to destroy itself and all hell breaks loose inside of it. That is what I'm telling you about. And now you're saying, well, okay, what's 5G and metal got to do with me? Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's chemtrails. Or as we've been conditioned to call it, because chemtrails is supposedly not a scientific enough name, geoengineering. A massive majority of what falls from the sky, what is being sprayed up there, And let's face it, they spray it way up, in most cases up around 30, 40,000 feet. It takes a long time to come down because most of the particulates in it are nano-sized. And they consist of a vast majority of what comes down is nano-sized particles or very small particles of aluminum. Now, when you ask them, why are you spraying aluminum into my skies? Back when everybody believed that global warming was the truth, they would tell you things like, because if we spray this high in the atmosphere, it's got a very long hang time, even though anything in a gravity well has to settle. But it has a very long hang time, and it reflects sunlight and cools the planet. Now, if you consider that global warming has been proven to be a hoax over and over again, there has to be another reason for spraying this much aluminum globally. And I mean globally. Each and every one of us breathes this in on a daily basis. And when Alzheimer's patients have had brain cross sections done after they have passed away, what they have found almost to the individual is an inordinately large amount of aluminum in the brain. Now, you and I are adults. We have what's called a blood-to-brain barrier, so we don't have to worry about it, right? Not. Because a vast majority of us, especially in North America, drink fluoridated water. And what does fluoride do? Fluoride opens the blood-to-brain barrier and allows metals such as mercury and aluminum into your brain. Now, that's extremely neurotoxic, aluminum. It literally slaughters brain cells, just like mercury does in your vaccines. Okay, literally slaughters brain cells. But that's not the worst of it. Where the hell does 5G come into all of this? Roger, you've been sitting there pacing. What? Where does 5G fit? I'm going to tell you. Okay, remember the fork? The metal fork you put in a damn microwave and shut the door and turned it on? Okay, 5G is not a pulsed an expanding wave. It's not. It's a pulsed beam. It is a beam. Not an expanding wave, which means with multiple, and there's supposed to be tens of thousands of them on all these buildings in all of these cities, and you see them going up everywhere, your schools, your hospitals, everywhere. These individual antennas can be ganged together electronically to form what's called a phased array. And from that, you equate a steerable beam. Now, I've got an individual walking around who you can literally identify by his cell phone. You know where he is. You know what he, you know, he's walking in a crowd. He's out in the middle of 21st Street and Vine. Whatever. You know this. You also have the ability to steer a 5G beam. You also have an individual, and we all have it. You also have an individual with a very high level of aluminum in his brain. It takes a focus of that beam less than a minute to raise the temperature of the brain a few degrees to the point where it literally shuts down. Then you shut the beam off, and within 30 seconds, the brain, 30, maybe 60 at the most, the brain is back to normal temperature. There is absolutely no way to prove what killed this individual. Now, why the hell, when you're in the middle of a major global scamdemic, pandemic, why would you continue to do a 5G build out if that pandemic is real? The soldiers and the techs that are doing the build out, aren't they just as much in danger as any civilian that would have been doing that job? So why is 5G being built out, even though there is a global pushback against this, and absolute proof that these microwave frequencies will harm us? That's without the aluminum. That's without the steerable beam. That's just 5G. Cancer in areas where the 5G build out has already been launched, cancer rates, especially in the vicinity of those antennas, is skyrocketing. This is not a joke. There are peer-reviewed papers showing this. So again, why the massive push to do it? If you could control every individual on the planet via a mechanism of technology like 5G, wouldn't you? And what the hell have they been doing? They've been selling it to us as the best thing humanity can ever ever have. Now, let's put this into context with everything else. What does 5G have to do with COVID-19? What does 5G have to do with lockdowns? What is 5G? Okay, I'm going to tell you. Take a look, and Barry, you've heard me say this on your show before, but I want to revisit it so people can actually do this. I want you to go to the internet when you get a chance, and I want you to look up, and they have them, a map showing the highest concentration of COVID-19 mortality. What cities? Where on the planet? The next thing I want you to do is I want you to look up a map of 5G cities planet-wide where the 5G build-out has actually been completed. What you're going to find out is probably going to make you go, really? All right. So 5G, microwave frequencies, especially if you're continuously fed these frequencies or exposed to them, they can do things that – let me put it to you this way. What would happen to most individuals would mimic a very bad case of the flu. Are you listening? None of this is bullcrap. Nothing I said to you can I prove. I cannot prove any of this. But I spent 30 years of my life working in technology. We have this stuff in our brains. Not a joke. Peer-reviewed science. I told you about the cross-sections of the brain. That's all fact. So if I can tell you about this and everything I explain to you is an absolute fact scientifically and those capabilities exist, it's nothing that has to be, I don't know, designed and built. This is what we're looking at. Now, we're talking about a lockdown, right? A second wave. We're talking about a lockdown. Again, let's take a look at the areas that are hardest hit. And let's take a look at the propagation and the bringing online of 5G nodes. What we're looking at right here is everything here is pushing together. All of the things that we have been led to be so scared of, all of the curtains Toto has pulled back over the last 6 to 8 months, they're all connected. Each and every one of them is a component in the biggest move, the most massive tyranny against humanity ever. Not a joke, not a guess, a fact. Now, am I telling you they're going to attack us with 5G? I can't prove that. Can I tell you that everything I explained to you is old technology? The only thing that's new is the satellite supposedly they put up there to transmit 5G. Mm. That's it. Everything else I explained to you has been around for a long time. All of this works together. Now, let me ask you a question. Who do you think would have been and who do you think realizes, I'm not saying all of this, but a good chunk of it. As a matter of fact, his understanding is probably bigly compared to most others. Yes, I said that intentionally. This guy has already kicked what? He's already kicked the military-industrial complex in the gut by telling him we're bringing our soldiers home from useless wars in the Middle East. He's already kicked Big Pharma in the guts by telling the world that hydroxychloroquine works. How did he know? He used it. All right? He kicked the Federal Reserve in the gut by telling the people, if they continue to do what they're doing, we will find ways to do things without them. Okay. What we're talking about is the three largest corporate cabals on the entire planet. Is Trump seeing the connections that I'm explaining to you? I'm not sure that he would go as deep into what most people would call a conspiracy theory, but I would tell you for absolute sure that if he retains office, which there's still a very good chance he will, but if he retains office, that you are going to see a massive cleanup. Now, how do I know this? Well, he's got the Secretary of Defense that shut off the defense updates or briefings to the Biden presidential team. Okay? They said, no, we're not going to do this until like after New Year's. And they said to the country that this was done in conjunction with the Biden campaign who had agreed to a 2-week break for the holiday, so on and so forth. This is what the U.S. government said. The Biden team turned around and said, we didn't say that. We didn't agree to that. So right now, Biden's team, they're not getting any updates. Why aren't they getting updates? Gee, Barry, why do you think they're not giving this guy updates?
Well, of course, because of what's going on behind the scenes and legitimacy of his claim as being elected president. We know that, Roger. And a lot of this is being exposed. I got a couple questions, though, about Donald Trump. Why is he pushing 5G so hard if this information is out there? And I believe he is pushing it pretty hard. Why would he push that hard knowing that there could possibly be major health detrimental health benefits to a human? There has been no long-term studies yet. We're allowing this to roll out. What's going on there? Can you clarify that for me a little bit?
Actually, I could dig the hole a whole lot deeper with one more comment. Okay. Why is he pushing vaccines so hard, especially a vaccine we know is an absolute risk? It's a crapshoot.
It is.
We can go into that. In a little bit more detail after the fact. But you're asking me, why is he pushing 5G? I'm going to ask you, why is he pushing vaccines? Look, as we have discussed many times in the past, is Trump perfect? Oh, no. Is Trump obligated? Oh, yes. Who bailed Trump's corporation out twice when it went bankrupt? Mm-hmm. Gee, that would be the Rothschilds. Okay, listen to me. Trump is not the boogeyman, but he's also not pure as the driven snow. It just isn't so. He wouldn't be where he is today if he didn't owe something to somebody. You do not become president in the United States by owing nobody nothing. This entire mechanism of state here is so freaking screwed up that if you ain't owned, you don't get there. What I'm trying to tell people is, what is the difference? The difference between a Biden or a Trump second term. What is the difference? The difference here is this. We know damn right well, when Trump gets back in or gets reelected, not back in office, he is in office. When he gets reelected officially, going forward, China's still going to be called to task. Going forward, we're still going to have borders that are controlled. Going forward, you put Joe in there. Is there anybody in this audience? Raise your hand, because I want to see where the idiots are. Okay? Is there anybody in this audience who doesn't believe wholeheartedly that when Biden gets in, this guy is – there's an actual recording of him saying, oh, don't worry about it. When I become president, I don't have to do anything. They're going to take care of everything for me. Yes. This guy is a moron. Okay? He's an absolute moron. Barry, tell me where I got that wrong.
Okay? Well, you're absolutely correct. And Roger, I sit and I think about this a lot. You know, I have to sit on the fence to say that I don't like what Trump is doing right now, how he's exposing everything, what is going on right now with the election. Well, to me, it's really not about Donald Trump right now at this point. It's about the Constitution of the United States. It's about right or wrong. Whether he turns out to be a player down the road, Roger, I don't know. But I'm going to sit on the fence as far as that goes. But right now, whether you like him or hate him, who else is going to stop this madness going on in our world? Sure, you know, I put those questions to you because those are two questions that really nag me constantly.
But hold on, I'm not done.
Okay, well, I'll let you talk. I do get to say a few things during the course of my hour. You know, this is good. I appreciate that. But, yeah, you go ahead and elaborate on that, Roger.
as far as what Trump is doing, let me go somewhere I've been before, and everybody will immediately go, oh, yeah. All right, look, Trump has an ego the size of the Matterhorn. Trump has an ego the size of Mount Everest. Trump has an ego the size of Jupiter. Okay, need I go on? Trump intently wants to go down in history as a president that made a major difference. There are some presidents, we don't even know their names. There are some presidents that are so obscure. Why? Because they didn't do anything to stand out. Their place in history is merely in a book when you're looking between the two presidents you do know, like maybe Lincoln and Wilson. Who came in between? Most people couldn't tell you on a bet. What Trump wants is when he dies, and he's not a young man, when he dies, he wants to know for an absolute fact that for 1,000 years or at least 500 years into the future, people are going to be saying America's still America because Trump. This is what is happening. This is a guy, is he bought and paid for? To some extent, they all are, or they wouldn't be there. God, I hate to say that over and over again, but it's a fact. But his ego is what trumps Trump. This guy wants to be the biggest, baddest, best president in modern history, and he needs to make a mark, and it has to be a big mark. This guy is doing things that if his name was Kennedy, he would have been dead a long time ago. This guy is doing things for America, and I don't think it's because he's the perfect patriot. I think it's because he's got the biggest ego on the planet, but that's working for us. And going forward, up until the day they tell me, don't even try anymore because it's not going to help, it's a done deal. Until that day comes, I'm going to sit at his dinner table shoveling his plate full of ego every single time it starts to get low. Right now, if I got to pick between Biden and Trump, you pick Biden, say hello to a technocracy, and if you ever thought you lived in a democratic society, forget about it. If Trump gets back in, at least we may have some time to prepare better, because right now there's so many Americans waking up and they're in shock. They're not prepared. We need Trump back in office for 4 more years, because when his second term is up, they will literally come gunning for all of us, because the elites will be so pissed that for 8 years they haven't been able to advance the plan that, hey, Obama and Clinton was supposed to seal the deal on.
Mm-hmm. Well, talking about waking up, that's happening in Canada, Roger, because we talked for a minute before we went on air about what was videoed 2 days ago with the Calgary police. And is absolutely outrageous. But what they've done in Canada is they've really kind of shot themselves in the foot, because that video was at 1.2 million views yesterday, and it's up to, I think, 1.8 million views. Canadians across the country are absolutely outraged, because they really aren't getting the exposure to the levels of brutality that we're seeing in Canadian police forces. But this was really kind of a wake-up for people across Canada. We had another example of that this week, where a guy was absolutely mauled by security guards in a mall in Newmarket, and it was totally, totally unjustified. The good thing for that boy is that they've retained one of the best civil lawyers in Canada, and that mall is going to be paying this guy a lot of money for what they did to him. And that's what's happening now, Roger. You know, what we're seeing in Canada, even though our judicial system is corrupt, we know that. We still do have laws that we can make them abide by. And we're going to see a whole pile of people on Monday go file charges against the Calgary police, because we have no other options available to us, period. We don't. They're not listening to the public. They're not listening to the people. What other option do we have at this point outside of civil war? And we don't want to go there. But I'm just telling you, a few things going on to Canada are mirroring exactly what we see going on in the rest of the world right now. Same agenda with a different snake. Same snake with a different head.
Let's plug another component in here, because I'm the guy to keep saying you've got to step back and look at the entire picture to see how these dots are connected. This, the one I'm about to bring up, involves the Dominion voting machines, involves corruption, involves pay for play, involves a standing U.S. elected official dealing underhandedly with nations that we consider to be not our friends. All of this is called China. And China is where this was supposed to have come from. That's another whole show. But if you stop to consider, there are literally, I mean, if you go to California, if you go to, I believe, Michigan, if you go to, I'm pretty sure, Georgia and a couple of other states, these people spent, well, let's talk about Newsom in California. He sent one payment of $500 million to the Chinese for supplies to fight COVID-19. And then a little while later, he sent another payment of $500 million. Now, I don't know how big the kickbacks were, but as far as I know, they didn't receive any supplies. Neither did the governor after the governor's actions in Georgia. But this is straight to China and major kickbacks. Now, let's take a look at where in the country we're seeing the pushback against any recognition of China as the issuance of this global pandemic. So what we're looking at is the Biden family, which we know is very, very ingrained in China. We know that for a fact. We know that the pay for play is there. That's not a joke. We know that the money has been received by Hunter Biden. That's not a joke. And I could go on and on and on. Problem with all of this is that nobody is considering that this is as big an issue as coronavirus is, which is a farce. This is as big an issue as lockdowns are. This is a guy who's about to, or he's being rammed down our throats to sit in the White House. Yet the actions he has committed, understanding U.S. constitutional law, disqualifies Joe Biden from ever sitting in the White House. Why is nobody talking about that? These are not guesses about the pay for play in China. They're facts. Remember Hunter Biden's laptop? There's more than that. Remember Bobulinski? Yeah, he was the CEO. He told them everything. But yet we have this guy who's been dealing with and getting money from and selling influence to those who have direct ties not only to the CCP, which runs communist China, but to the military in China. So what we're looking at here is China is every bit as big as any other piece on this chessboard right now. It's freaking huge. But you ain't hearing a lot about that, are you, Barry? Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. Trudeau. He's my buddy. You know what Trudeau wanted to do? Yeah, he wants to train the Chinese army to make them better killers.
Yeah. Isn't that great? Don't you love him? I mean, I've never heard of a better idea in my life, ever. And he's got up training at Camp Petawawa in Ontario here. And some of their top generals have been training here and learning our technique. But that's because Justin loves us. We got to be inclusive. We can't be against the Chinese because, you know, they harvest human body parts and they got the most draconian measures in the world against their state.
What about the Uyghurs?
Nothing. You know, there's nothing to worry about there. We want to be like that because China turned their economy around on a dime. Didn't you hear Justin say that? My God.
Right, but now, China.
I'll tell you, China's getting their own karma right now. But you know what? I shouldn't say that. Because you know what? I believe, Roger, the Chinese people are just like you and me. They want freedom. They want a good life. But unfortunately, they're on the most draconian dictatorships in the world right now. And they don't have any freedoms. But they are sure getting pummeled over there with floods, buddy. And we talked about the Three Gorges. Well, I'm watching that all the time. And I'm getting reports on it every day, folks. And, boy, I don't wish it on anybody if that thing ever lets go, Roger. But they are really having problems. Really having problems.
Did you know that there's $2 trillion worth of monies owed to the American people, whether it's American corporations, so on and so forth, that China's refusing to pay? China is right now, their reserves, their cash reserves, and their biggest businesses are all going out of business. China is on an economic downslide that is like, I don't know, one of those amusement parks you drop 100 feet per second slides. Yeah. China is in trouble. They are. And I would tell you right now, when a nation that big gets into that much financial trouble, the biggest mechanism for distracting their people away from their miserable failures, meaning the Communist Party itself, is war.
Here it comes.
Yep. And what have you heard the Chinese say for the last month? Three times they've made an announcement to the general public saying, we've got to prepare for war. We've got to prepare for war on the coronavirus. We've got to prepare for war three times. This is pretty much unprecedented. But the Chinese Communist Party is making their citizenry aware of the fact that war may be a very real prospect in the near future. Why? Because they've failed their people so badly that Toto's got to pull back another curtain so nobody's looking at that miserable failure. In a communist country like China, if Xi gets really, 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 really bad, even worse than he is now, and he's already one of the most biggest failures that country's ever had, this side of Mao, the Communist Party will get rid of him, and he knows that.
Yeah, they've got their shares of problems right now. I forget exactly what the figures in economic damage just from the flooding they've seen this year, but I think it's $1.3 trillion in economic damage done so far, and they're not out of the woods yet by a long shot.
Gorges could still go.
Roger, that one, I've been watching it for about 7 years now, and the reports I'm seeing are not good. That the microquakes that they're experiencing around the outside of the reservoir right now is being caused by an extremely heavy weight load of water. Yep. People don't factor that into their thought process, but it is a real issue with them right now, and that dam was compromised from the day it was built. So I just hope it doesn't happen to those folks. I really don't, because it's going to affect directly 40 million people would be affected, and indirectly 400 million people would be affected within a week. So it's not a good situation. I don't wish it on anybody. Then we look at the earthquake. I don't want to get off subject here, Roger, but boy, that's something I watch all the time here. And what we're seeing in earthquakes right now is just like, whoa, what is going on out there? But a couple things I'm going to pick your brain on. Well, we just seen a big one over in Japan this morning. Everybody that follows these Dutch sense, New World Earth, I think it's called, the USGS, and a couple other sites that I follow are all telling us that be expecting very big earthquake activity in the next couple of days. I believe it's being caused by the pulses of energy that are coming off the sun. I've looked into that quite a bit. What are your thoughts on all this, and what's causing this major uptick in earthquake activity? I don't want to get you off subject, but I know you follow it.
If you stop to consider, the sun is in a very dangerous period. It is. It's spewing out a whole lot of energy. As a matter of fact, this is the most dangerous time for planet Earth. Because if it spits out a nice big chunk of plasma, and that plasma, we just happen to be in the path of that plasma, it will literally wreak havoc all the way up to and including the extermination of humanity. Not a joke. Okay? This is where we sit. And what you have to understand is how small the Earth is, how big space is, and, what are the possibilities or the probabilities? They're pretty close to zero, obviously. We've been here, over a million years, supposedly, and blah, blah, blah. We're still here. The point is, of all the points of danger the sun enters, this is the most critical phase. The sun is very, very active at this point. So, right. Do I believe that it is that it's flexing the Earth? Absolutely. But I also believe, like I said, that this is the point in time where the Earth is the most at danger from a direct strike from the sun.
Mm-hmm. Well, and couple that with, there's lots of things that are causing these upkicks in earthquakes. The Earth, we've been seeing a major upkick here for a while. But what we're seeing now is thousands of microquakes in areas that we know contain large reservoirs of molten lava. There's a couple in the States that I've been looking at, and then I've been studying the Walker Spring fault line. I think that's the one I'm talking about. It's the largest fault going down the coast of California. And if you look at all the earthquakes now, Roger, they're just on a line right from, say about midway in Mexico, right down to Peru, the bottom of Peru. It's just a solid line.
Yep.
Earthquake going off like crazy, folks. So there's something going on. And I kind of watch it all the time. I'm no expert, but I do find it very interesting to see this upkick right now.
I got a question for you, okay?
A question? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to Google it. Go ahead.
Let's start in the 1950s when the first satellites were put into orbit. Let's fast forward to 2020 when there are literally between 25 and 30,000 pieces of either active satellites or space junk up there. Let's talk about the thousands more of 5G satellites that are being put up as we speak. Let's talk about each and every one of them having an active frequency, or a vast majority of them. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to talk to them. You wouldn't be able to get information from them. Let's talk about the entire planet being, I don't know, saturated with radio frequencies and above. Let's talk about the fact that this has never happened in the history of this planet. Let's talk about the fact that we know radio frequencies can disturb inanimate objects. We know this all the way down to an atomic level. Let me ask you a question again. With all of this activity we're seeing, with the massive increase of 5G across this planet, mightn't that have been a trigger point? Might we not be doing to the planet exactly what we wouldn't want to do, but nobody has a clue? If you rain from 30, soon to be 40,000 satellites saturating this planet with radio frequencies or higher, what's the result? Does anybody know? Want to bet it's never been studied? Want to bet nobody's even asked that question before? This is what we're here for. Stop and think about this. We're in a situation right now where we're starting to see, and that's actually been going on for almost 4 years now, that we've seen a higher level of earthquake, just higher than what it usually is. Mm-hmm. Stepping up above. And when was the initial build out and launch of the 5G mechanism? Now, I'm not saying that's all that's causing it, but it's like anything else. I'm not sick. Oh, today I am sick. Okay. What does it take to trigger everything else that's already sitting there waiting?
Interesting. That's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And I have nothing to prove that, but it's something that keeps going through my head. Yeah, because I know how this stuff works.
Well, there's nothing that's off the table, really, is there, Roger? I mean, we've said so many times on our shows over the years that the technology they possess is way ahead of what we know. And what we know right now is terrifying. So if we project that 10 years down the road, what do we have? What do you think is causing this massive upkick in floods going on around the planet? Same mechanisms being used? Because we're seeing more 100-year floods around this world right now than we've ever recorded in our history. China has come out this year, Roger, and stated that the floods they're seeing are the worst in their recorded history. Now, how far back those records go, I'm trying to find out. I think it's 1,000 years that they've been in, about 1,000 years of actual recording on flooding events. Yeah. Before that, there was records of it, but actual recording, I think it's 1,000 years that they've been recording it, and this is the highest and the most severe floods they've ever seen in their history. What's going on there, man? That's pretty crazy.
Well, you could say part of it may be due to what we've talked about. Earth changes is what I like to call them, because they are earth changes. But I would also tell you that the U.S. government is probably, or the deep state, I would have to say, and that includes Canada, for what I'm about to say, probably are the most skilled at geoengineering. Probably are the most skilled at driving storms to or away from the most skilled at combining one storm that would have had virtually hardly any impact at all and another storm that would have had even less impact. And you combine the two of them, what you end up with is a hurricane about 1,000 miles off the coast of Florida. Am I joking? I'm absolutely not joking. And anybody who doesn't understand, because if you take a look online, there's actually documents to tell you this. Geoengineering is a weapon of war. Who is our biggest enemy right now? And let me ask you a question. If we had the ability to affect their weather and to keep the rain coming and knew it would cause economic disaster, would those who run this planet be unscrupulous enough to do that? Hell yeah!
Yeah, they're psychopaths. That's the thing that we got to realize, that we're dealing with psychopaths. And it's hard for a normal person to think like a psychopath, but you really got to think like one of them to come up with their game plan. And boy, it's sure coming to fruition right now, but everything they've sat down and thought about for the last 40 years that could be detrimental to the human health, the human being in general, is now coming to the surface and having a major effect on society. This was all thought about years ago. You know that, Roger. This didn't happen overnight. You don't bring down a nation like the United States in a decade or two decades. It takes years of planning to get us to where we are right now. Go ahead.
It's not the United States. The United States, again, and you do have a valid point. The United States had to be the most – it had to be seen in the eyes of the planet as either the first or as the most, I don't know, officious, the most – this is what counts. The United States – it was stated that the United States needed to be brought to her knees before the rest of the world would accept a global governance. And when asked why, the reply was, because if you take the cowboys of the planet down, who's going to step up next? More than likely, nobody. So what we're seeing is the beginning of the plan. But if you take a look around the planet, yeah, the rest of you are pretty much locked up into your homes. Your government's pretty much, you know, dictatorial on your butt. You get your head caved in if you go to the local store without their permission. The United States is in the crosshairs because we need to go down for the rest. This is their thinking, not mine. For the rest of the world to say, well, you know what? If that happened to them, okay, what do you need us to do? I'm dead serious.
Yeah,
this is
exactly
what's happening. This is exactly what's happening. The only thing they haven't, and maybe they did realize it, but they didn't count on it enough, is the 350 to 500 million guns. And again, more than both the communist Chinese army and the Russian army combined, just their guns, are in American hands. Americans are waking up at a pace, and Canadians at a pace I've never seen in my life. And they're pissed. And they have more guns than the two other superpowers on the planet combined. This is not going to be good if they push it to that point. America has been through a revolution for freedom. And nowadays, one of the biggest things I'm hearing from everybody is, are we in for another 1776?
Well, it's a very, very real possibility if they read the Insurrection Act and martial law is declared. Unfortunately, I think you'll see a civil war, and I hope it doesn't get to that point, Roger, because there will be a lot of people dead. Whether that is necessary at this point, I don't have the absolute answer for that, but I see it going in that direction. I know that General Flynn, and I was given some information that I'm going to find out if it's true, but apparently they had a top-notch meeting in Washington today, Flynn and a few other the big players about the Insurrection Act. That came to me earlier today. I'm trying to find out if it's true, but there's something
else that came to my attention.
Okay, go ahead.
A little bit more detail. It's not what you said is wrong. It's just that some very, very high and well-placed generals and Trump legal staff were, and, of course, the Secretary of Defense were tucked together in the Oval Office to discuss. Now, let's talk about the Insurrection Act, because this is exactly what most of this would be about. Let's talk about anybody stating that what Trump, if Trump actually falls back on that, that he is basically doing something traitorous, so on and so forth. Absolutely not. The proof is unequivocal. The proof is absolutely there. It may be that every state is doing everything they can to keep these things from getting into any court, most of which these judges were appointed by the Obama administrations. So if you stop to consider that each and everything that is happening in the states right now is basically going against their entire population. Mm. Everything that's happening in the United States right now via the Joe Biden election is going against a preponderance of the American people. Now, how can I say that? Because there's more Democrats registered in this country than there are Republicans. Well, it has been stated that between 94 and 96% of Republicans support Trump, as far as believing that this election was illegally stolen. Between 30 and 36% of the Democrats believe that too. If you add those two numbers up, that tells you a preponderance of Americans realize they've been ripped off. That's what the Insurrection Act is for. Exactly what it's for.
Well, you know, it comes down to, correct me if I'm wrong, but Donald Trump's responsibility as president of the United States is to protect the Constitution in all forms. And the bottom line here is that you have a coup going on in the United States of America, whether they elect Trump or not. And I know a lot of my listeners hate the guy. They all have their opinions. I respect everybody's opinion about people. But at this point, I don't see any other option. If somebody out there that's listening to this show right now has another answer to this particular problem we have right now in our face that we have to address, if we don't address it, we're going to lose it all. And if somebody out there has an answer, I would love to hear from you, Roger, because I get everybody, you know, I mean, like I said, people are entitled to their opinions. But at this point, I don't have any of their answers but what is in front of us right now at this particular point in history. This is a turning point in history. There is no tomorrow if this goes forward and Biden is allowed. That being said, I honestly do not believe for one second that he will be allowed to be inaugurated as president of the United States of America. I don't believe that would be allowed to happen. I believe the Insurrection Act will be the last resort they go to if they can't settle this in courts. I also heard that Arizona is going to verify their forensic audit. Is that true? Yeah. On Tuesday? Okay, and I also heard today that Georgia is calling now for a verification, all signatures on ballots.
All signatures on ballots.
That came through today. So yeah. You know what, and you know what I know, Roger, if those two events happen in the next week, the House of Cards is going to crumble like
it
the
already power has.
It's crumbling now, but the public, what I'm talking about is the public's perception. This is being held back by the media. Of course, we know all about what they're doing, who they're involved with. We don't have to go down those rabbit holes, but the public isn't fully aware of this yet. But this is going to come and it blindside the American public. It's going to blindside them. And of course, they're going to turn it around on Trump and try and tell the American public through the media giants that he's attempting a coup. So we are going to
see attempt a coup against yourself. Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, yeah, but they have the control of the media. We got to remember that, Roger. Such a powerful tool. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Where? I mean, you just started the whole show over again. Look, what most people don't understand is that what we are looking at is somebody stepping into the office that one was not elected, without absolute fraud. He would never have been elected. That's one. Number two, there is proof beyond a shadow of a doubt that he engaged in pay for play between the Ukraine and his son and between China and his son. Okay, which also disqualifies him. All right. Now, literally, stop and think about what I just said. Literally, that disqualifies him. Okay, now you've got the guy who supposedly runs the lead judge on the Supreme Court of the United States talking, and he's a conservative, talking to another judge on the court who is a liberal, and this is a matter of record now, stating that they have to do whatever they can to ensure that Trump doesn't get reelected. Yep. When you have two members of the Supreme Court discussing this, okay, that's sedition.
That's the deep end sedition. Yes, it is.
And I can go on. What we are looking at right now is two, maybe three mechanisms that are absolute paths to victory for Trump. Now, the only way these don't work is if the military doesn't back him up. But hold on a minute. They canceled military briefings for the Biden team. Yes, and a few hours after that, a couple of big name generals and the Trump defense team meet with Trump at the White House. I got to tell you something. I'm not stupid, and I didn't flunk math. 1 and 1 equals 2. Right now, what's going on in this country is we have not only a president, but we have a superstructure behind him that I feel he's put together that has some confidence. He got rid of a bunch of people. Last year on the defense. These were people who advised the defense industry. He got rid of a half a dozen of them because basically these were people who supported everything that we're facing at this point. Trump has been preparing for exactly this. In 2018, he made an executive order about election fraud with foreign nation involvement. We know for a fact that our votes went to Germany. We know for a fact that our votes went to Spain. We know for a fact that they were manipulated. We know for a, and we could go on and on. We've got the intel chief stepping up yesterday, the day before yesterday, to say there is unconditional proof that Iran, Russia, and China, because of the, I don't know, the weak spots in, the programmed in weak spots in the Dominion machines, did in fact have an influence on the U.S. election. So all of this, if you put it all together, anybody in their right mind who knows what I just told you realizes that via the Constitution, Joe Biden is not qualified to sit in the White House. But is MSNBC telling you that? Is CBS telling you that? Is ABC telling you that? No. Who's telling you that? The big puzzle. That's who's telling you.
Amy Barrett, her background, I've been looking into it. Some stuff was brought to my attention, Roger, that really kind of knocked me off my seat. Do you know anything about her background and who she actually is and where her possible connections to the Biden family are? Because information was brought to me about that, and I'm just trying to find out about it. Have you heard anything about that at all?
What have you heard? Because the thing I know would be dependent on what you know.
Well, let me. I'm not going to say. I don't ever talk about something unless I can verify it.
Just a couple
very, very reliable sources. I consider them pretty reliable. Send me information about Amy Barrett and her actual background and how she's tied to Joe Biden. How she her ages match the births of individuals and people disappearing at that time. I haven't looked into it all, but it's some of it really has some merit to it. I'm going to look into it, but it was brought to my attention today. I found it pretty interesting. We've only got about 4 minutes left here, Roger, so I'll get you a hit on that, and then I'm going to have to let you go again, buddy. Sorry.
I would tell you that I would probably take that with a grain of salt and then kick the grain of salt out. The reason why I'm saying that is because I got a message from somebody yesterday saying that Trump had basically declared martial law and that Joe Biden was forced to surrender his
And I just ignore those.
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is, this pretty much smells along the same line. I'm almost done. If you stop and think that before Trump puts his name on the line recommending anybody and then fighting like that for them, they did a whole hell of a lot of digging.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to give it any more time at all, Roger. It's just it came from some people that I consider reliable, and I know there's a lot of bullcrap going on out there right now. Other links that have been sent to me, I totally ignore.
It may be true, but I've never heard anything along that line at all.
Okay, well, let's just leave that at that for now. But look, okay. We have about a minute left here, Roger. You know what? I really look forward to my chats with you, and I've enjoyed this one today, as always. And I want you to get back here real soon. I know you always say yes, so I don't have to book it. But anyways, real quickly, share with people where they can find you, Roger, who you are and what you represent, and I'm going to have to let you go, bud.
Okay. Well, I got a gazillion things to do, and that's half of what I had to do yesterday. I am the founder and managing director of the Liberty Beacon Project. The flagship is thelibertybeacon.com. When you go there, just look up at the top. You'll see a banner with our sites on it. Click on it. You'll have access to our site in the UK, our site in France. We have them all over the planet. So anyway, this is about eradicating programmed ignorance. This is about getting you the truth. And I thank you for the platform, Barry. It's always good to chat with you.
You always have a platform here, my friend. Okay, guys, I'll be back in about 4 minutes. I was supposed to have Kellyanne Wolf coming in, but nobody's heard from her today, so I don't know what's going on with her. And, of course, my producer has been gracious enough to step in and fill the hour if that's what's necessary. I'll be back in 3 minutes.
listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.
Welcome back, second hour, folks, and my apologies. I had Kellyanne Wolf lined up for today. I love talking with the lady. She's just a real firecracker, and I've been messaging around, and nobody's heard or seen her today. So something probably has come up, or obviously something has come up, or she would have been here. She was talking about it all week and looking forward to it, and I can't reach her today. So I'll find out what happened, and I'll get her back here in the near future. But Steve is always gracious enough to step in on short notice, try and fill in for the hour. I'd also love to hear from somebody. You can contact us through Skype. Steve is Super Big Bad Man 1. His phone number you can recall is 1-269-409-1950. 269-409-1950. Anyways, welcome, Steve, and thanks for filling in, bud. I know we talked just before we came on air about the book that you have been reading that I'm looking forward to reading myself. Let's start with that. What have you discovered by reading that book so far?
Well, I've gotten about 60-some-odd pages in, and I'm always happy to fill in for you or anyone else that I produce for. It doesn't really matter. COVID-19, The Great Reset. I've been reading it last 3 weeks. I've got like, I don't know, close to 65 or 70 pages in. I've been telling the audience, I've never written a book, but, I've heard for, I don't know how many dozens of years, decades, how long it takes people to write books. And this is like 260 plus pages. And these two guys allegedly had wrote these books, this Klaus Schwab and Thierry Malheureux. I guess that'd be the French pronunciation.
Yep.
They allegedly wrote this book, they said, in basically about 6 to 8 weeks, 270-some-odd pages. I don't see it happen. You know, I have written some stuff myself. You take notes down and you write out thoughts, and then you edit 2, 3, 4, 5 times. I don't know how many edits people do, but this is a perfectly written book, except for what I would call grammatical circumstances or not really mistakes, but something that I would have done differently in the 60 some odd pages, only about 3 or 4. They would start a word on one single page and then finish it on another. So, you got to flip back and forth to see what in the world you're trying to talk about. But, basically they're claiming that they wrote this book in about 6 to 8 weeks. And, I'm calling bull crap on them, you know?
Well, if you knew the script perfectly, well, yeah, prior to writing the book, of course you'd be able to write it in that short period of time. If you were the one that's rolling out the mandate and calling the shots and knew exactly how it was supposed to play out and what came before this all rolled out, you'd be able to write it in a very short period of time, is what we're saying, Steve. And absolutely, they had the plan laid down years ago.
I think it was years. 2 or 3 weeks back when you had Jürgen on. He said that he said something about that this book was actually written in 2016. And, it would make a lot of sense whether they fully, almost, well, let's just say that they 95% wrote it in 2016 and then finished it off in April of this year. And then they published it in, I think it's July of this year,
Right.
That would make.
Is that when it was published? That was actually, the publication date was July. I thought it was before that.
Let me see.
We'll just verify that. I thought it was before that.
Yeah, I have to. I have to try to find something here. I'm looking for it. I don't know where it would be, but I'm looking for it. I know it was in the early.
You're going to be on our next hour, guys. Hang around for him.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I know it was in the early summer or late spring, one or the other. I do remember seeing that somewhere. Like May or June. I don't recall now, but these guys are claiming this. I've done some writing. I haven't done any kind of writing close to this, but I'm calling crap. That's what I'm calling.
Well, I probably would tend to agree with you, Steve, because none of that would make sense, like I said, unless you knew the playbook and you were the one actually writing the playbook.
Well,
it would be easy to put it on a piece of paper, wouldn't it?
Yeah. One of the things that they're also saying in here a few times is the phrase, the new normal. I know we've all heard that, right?
Everywhere.
Yeah, well, you know, it's in this book. And
well, it isn't. Everything's normal. Nothing to see here, Steve. Our world's completely been turned upside down. It's all good because we've got to stop this killer virus, man. People are dropping dead in the streets, Steve. It's terrible.
Well,
hospitals in Canada are overloaded.
Let's put that to the test,
what
also.
A joke. Well, hey, Steve, you know, Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie, who is just a piece of work, came out and made a statement. And boy, she's going to get it in her face this week because she claimed that one of the hospitals in Mississauga is absolutely overloaded with patients. They can't take anybody in. The ICUs are full, blah, blah, blah. Well, seven individuals went in and videoed the hospital she's talking about. And you know what? There isn't a person in there. But to fix, you know, a couple odd people. That's it. But the ICU, the emergency wards are, you know, there's a couple people sitting in there. And she's out on public television and radio making these statements. How do we get that called out and a person removed immediately for that kind of propaganda, which is being can be proved to be 100% bullcrap? And yet she's putting it out to the public and the public's buying this. What
you
a
know,
crock. How do we stop that? How do we call her out? It's just absolute bull. Absolute bull.
Well, you I don't know what it's seriously going to take, but, you know, there's the proverbial, I don't remember the two characters' names, but the two guys in, They Live, the 1986 movie, where they bust into the center of the, whatever it is, the, signal that's being put out, and they destroy the satellite. And then everybody can see these aliens' faces. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to remember the name of the movie. I know the one you're talking about.
They Live.
Well, they Live. Putting it right in our face, weren't they?
Well, yeah. Yeah, you know, I don't really know if that's what it's actually going to take. There have been a couple of other movies in the past 20-some-odd years or whatever, but that have kind of come to the same conclusion and almost put that right in our face. What we have to do is, I don't remember the name of the movie, but it's a George Clooney movie. It was made about 5-6 years back or something, but there was a guy that busted into the news agency that, George Clooney's character worked for and he took it over by gunpoint. So, you know, I don't really know if that's what it's going to take is take over by gunpoint. These people are very, very highly paid propagandists.
Yeah, they are. And they have tremendous control of the narrative because they control all aspects of the media.
Well,
I think it's eight families own all the media in the world, Steve. They control everything we see, think, and hear.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If you listen to mainstream, which I do.
Right. I've also here in America, too, people don't even actually know it, but CCP, Chinese Communist Party, actually owns a good majority of some of the mainstream news outlets here in America and Canada, probably too.
Their influence is everywhere, Steve. Everywhere.
Well,
I mean, their influence in Hollywood is far and reaching. They have their tentacles in everywhere.
Yeah. Do you remember it's been about 4 or 5 years back that they remade the, what the heck was the movie? The one where, well, back in the mid-80s had, Charlie Sheen and a few of the other younger actors where they played rebel people that were fighting the Russians when they attacked America.
Red Dawn?
Red Dawn, yeah. They remade that movie about 5-6 years back. Originally, in the first cut of the movie, It was supposed to have been the Chinese that invaded America on the movie that was 4 or 5 years back. But CCP kind of said, no, you're not going to do that. And they actually took about 18 months and changed the entire movie. The Hollywood production company made it into the North Koreans that ended up invading America in the second movie.
Yeah, actually, I was just looking at links this morning about things they've changed in movies over the years to take things out that they don't want talked about, like Tibet. That was brought up in a movie. I forget exactly which one it was, but they actually had them remove that in Hollywood. I'll send the link to you, Steve. You've probably seen it, but the fact is that their censorship is far and wide, and there's a lot of people that are taking money from the Chinese Communist Party right now that should be hung for treason, because that's what they're committing against the American people, especially the mainstream media. But hey, one of the things I was going to ask you now, we talked about the Insurrection Act, and we also talked about Trump's executive order in 2018, and I read a bit of that order, and apparently that gives him the power to seize assets of all and any individuals, foreign individuals, American tech firms that are involved with fraud in the election, the right to seize their assets. Am I stating that correctly?
Well, I think maybe it gives him the right to do that to corporations. And when we're talking about corporations, we're talking about all of these
Facebook,
all these other countries. Yeah, Facebook. Countries are corporations, in case a lot of people didn't know it. You're a corporation. I'm a corporation. You know, unless we can find a way to return our birth certificate to the rightful people and the correct people. I know I've heard this before. I just don't remember what it is. And I'm not willing to shake a stick at the hornet's nest at this time, you know. I'm going to pick and choose my fights. And I think all of us should. But, you know, unless we can totally get out of this system, it's going to be very, very difficult. I know, I mean, Ron says it every time he comes on your show, Ron Stevens. He says we're going to have to take it back at the local level. And I believe that's going to be the biggest solution, is taking it back at the local level.
Yeah, we've had that conversation many, many times. And my only pushback against that, my friend, is that do we have the time to do that right now? We see things going very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And doing what you're talking about, I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't be happier about Kevin Johnson running for mayor in Calgary and the momentum that he's gaining, that we need to take it back. But I don't know if we have the time to do all that.
Well,
I really don't know.
A mayor is just one single voice. I don't really know how. I haven't really studied it. I don't know how many people are at the local municipal level. Let's just pick a number of 9 or 10, one or the other. 9. The mayor is just one single vote. You have to get 8 other people or at least 4 or 5 other people on your side to have a majority vote and to be able to change something. You know, my small town of 13,000 people. I'd have to do a little bit of research and find out how many people are at that local level, but you know, you don't have to change everybody's mind and the 535 people in the American government. That's all that controls 330 plus million people. It's 535. That's it. You don't have to change all their minds. You have to change enough people's minds. And I think it starts at the local level.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to argue that at all, Steve. I absolutely am convinced that's the way we take the power back. It's just I have that continuing question. Do we have time to do that at this particular point? We need to stall. We need to stall the mechanism for a bit. And the only way we're going to stall that is to put a stop to what's going on a little bit. So we get some time to do what we need to do.
You know, you have to have so many people sign a petition for a recall election. I think it's, I don't have a clue.
58%.
I don't even think it's that far. I don't even think it's that high.
That seems to be a number I heard. Okay, go ahead.
I think here in my state of Michigan, I don't remember how many people. I'd have to do a quick search on how many people are in my state. Maybe somebody can do it for me just as quick. But there's been petitions out there that are still running. I think they're going until April to try to recall my governor. She's a little lady.
She's crazy.
She's a little lady Hitler. That's all she is. She's
nuts. She is just right out of control. What a piece of work she is, man.
Right.
How do these
right.
people ever get in there?
Right. Well, they're put in there.
Of course they are. Of course they are. You can't tell that to the normal person, that they're selected, not elected. They still believe that we have a democracy. Boy, they just have, the charade is very, very deep and very, very wide in our society. You know, I look at Canadians walking around with masks on their face, Stephen.
Yeah.
You know, it absolutely drives me insane that people cannot do a little bit of research on their own. It really does.
I just found it.
Something like that, man. It's just like, wow, can't you really take a couple hours out of your time and go look at what hypoxia is and go look at all these other things that these masks do to your body and then tell me you want to put one on to protect you against something that we got to look at the numbers, like you said it, and lots of people have said it 100 times, that over 99% of us are never affected in a death way. Sure, we might get a cold, we might get a sniffle, but boy, when has that ever not happened?
What happened to the colds? What happened to the flu?
It disappeared. The flu went away this year, Steve, because
it did.
COVID-19, it chased the flu right out of there.
The cold. The cold did too.
It wasn't their year that they had to leave. So they're out of the picture right now. It's COVID and nothing else. We can't talk about any
Well, you
other
know what
diseases,
I...
Nothing. Tuberculosis, nothing. Can't even discuss it.
You know what I also think? Why that actually happened? I've got a pretty good idea why that happened. Each and every year, an average of 250,000 people die in American hospitals by medical malpractice. 250,000 people, give or take a few, you know, a few hundred, a few thousand, whatever. But an average of 250,000 to 260,000 people die each and every year from medical malpractice. Just in America alone. I can pretty much imagine that they're probably getting tired of paying out lawsuits. So, you know, Granny dies, she goes in for a hip operation, and she dies suddenly. She dies of COVID.
Yeah. Well, how many instances have we seen all that? Well, let's talk about the PCR test for a second, Steve. It's a joke. It is absolutely a joke how they could ramp it up, and they can give you as many positive test results that you want. I mean, that alone should have people...
Well,
understanding that this is a charade, because it's absolutely incredible what they can do with these tests. It's not an accurate test.
Well,
it's never designed to be used as a tech mechanism for this virus.
Yeah.
Period. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, look at that actual, it's come out that they can put five of those swabs into a single container now and send it out to be tested. Instead of one single swab into one container, they can put five swabs into a container now.
Yeah, so they don't touch each other. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no contamination.
But you know what? What really blew me away, and there's three doctors now that have come forward and are releasing reports on this, Steve, that these tests that they're doing in Canada, I don't know if they're doing the exact same thing in the States, but they've already from the beginning, they have told us that this virus is in our saliva. That's why we're wearing these masks, okay?
Yeah.
So if it's in our saliva, very, very simple test. You take a toothpick or a swab, you stick it inside your mouth, you swab the saliva, you put it in the package, there you go. But what they're doing is they're sticking these probes up people's noses right up to the cranium, right at the base of the brain. And there's a tiny little layer there that protects stuff from going from your nose into your brain. I don't have the word for it, but it's people got to go look this up. I'll try and find one of the links and post it before the show is over today, folks. But there's three very, very well-known doctors have talked about it already. And it makes sense because what they're doing with these probes is they're sticking it up and they're touching that membrane between your outside and the inside of your brain, and they're giving it a twist. Well, folks, this stuff is coming from China. These people are not our friends. Talk about nanotechnology, Steve. What could they put on the end of the probe? When they do the test, they stick it in right up in there, and they give it a twist.
Nanotechnology. Nanotechnology. Yeah. I think,
nanotechnology blows me away, Steve. I talk about it a lot, but it's something that people have to think about. They do.
Yeah.
Because what they can do, we don't know. So we don't know what these psychopaths are doing. We have no way of understanding what is on the end of that probe that they're sticking in your nose. And why do they have to stick it up that point where it's a millionth of an inch or whatever it is away from your nose with a very tiny barrier that protects it from actually going into the brain? Would that twist be enough to break that barrier when they know they get to a certain point? We got to ask those kind of questions, folks, because we are dealing with very, very evil people.
Well, the allegation is Dr. Batar and Dr. Kaufman, two of the doctors you might be thinking of?
I'll get the links for you, Steve. They're on my timeline. I say, haven't taken it down already. I was listening to three of them here in the last couple of days about this particular subject, what they're actually doing with these test kits and the probes that they're sticking into your nose. It, according to their own stats, their own words, that process would be totally unnecessary to get a proper sample of your saliva.
It's always been totally unnecessary.
Why are they doing that?
No, they've been getting saliva. They've been getting DNA samples and saliva samples from the back of your throat for hundreds of years.
That could be part of the equation. They could be collecting your DNA. We know they want to do that because they want to make sure they have us in the program banks when that time comes. A deep rabbit hole, but that's true. Go ahead. Yeah.
Not so much taking your DNA. I mean, they pretty much had your DNA if you're under the age of 40 for the last 40 years. They've been taking children's blood at birth for, what is it, like 38, 39 years, somewhere in there.
Yeah, and who's to say that they're not collecting that out of blood samples? Some evil, devious organization has got deals going, and that's what they're doing with blood. Maybe they could be doing it through blood donations. We don't know. But the fact that they're doing it, I'm aware of that, Steve. So they probably got mine. They probably got yours.
Yeah. It's already come out many, many years ago that these pharmaceutical companies can make bio-specific, person-specific bioweapons. They collect your DNA. They can create a strain of whatever they want, anthrax or Ebola or some other stupid disease that they've built, and release it, and it would only affect you or affect a race like the Indians or the African or whatever race that they want to affect. They can specifically affect one man, one woman, one child, whatever they want, or hundreds of thousands. I mean, look at AIDS. AIDS, it has come out as virtually a race-specific bioweapon. It was targeted for the African race, not just African Americans, but the Africans as a people.
Right. Whatever happened to rotary phones, man? I want to go back to rotary phones, Steve.
They still sell flip phones. You can get you.
My old brain to try and absorb some of this stuff. It's like, wow, you know, just when I thought I heard the craziest thing that could ever possibly put in my little brain, something else comes along. And a lot of it, you know, it makes sense because it all plays into an agenda. And it would absolutely perpetrate that agenda. But some of these thoughts, man, I mean, I've heard some stuff today that, you know, I thought I was pretty informed individual, but I've heard a few things today that I hadn't heard of before. And, wow, what am I going to hear next, man? What is coming next down the tubes?
What's coming next?
Major announcement today that the coronavirus is now at a point that it can actually travel through your internet wires. So anybody using a computer in their homes must wear a mask.
Well, I
and we will be spying on you, and if you don't, you will be put in jail.
I
some of your papers.
I took a selfie a couple of months back, and or maybe it's about a month back or something like that. It hasn't been all that long ago, and I took a selfie with a weird look on my face, you know, and said, COVID is next going to be transmitted through looking at people. So they don't want you to look at people.
Yeah, and they're telling us now it can be the passing gas out of the back of your body. It's another week. Yeah. I did one. Yeah. Anyways, that's another way it's being transmitted now. So you're gonna have to wear a diaper, folks.
Well, they've already come out.
I can just all day.
They've already come out a few months back with the absurd idea that COVID floats through the air for miles.
Yeah, I know. It's just, and people buy it, Steve. They buy it. It just absolutely blows me away how well they've conditioned society, well, how much they've brainwashed society. We're really seeing it manifest itself now, Steve.
They have studied us for over 150 years. 150 years. Yeah. You know, they
know how to push our buttons.
Yes. They knew from studying us back at the latter part of the 19th century, the 1870s, 1880s, whenever the first moving picture started coming out, people were enthralled by this technology. The television. First it was the radio. They captivated hundreds of millions with the radio, and it exploded with the TV. I know I've told you a story about Alan Watt up there in Toronto.
Yeah, yeah.
Haven't I?
You told me that story.
Yeah. He's originally from Scotland. He said when he was a boy, there was a city that he lived in, that, you know, there might be 1,000 people in the local park in his area. During the work week, there might be 1,000 people doing stuff that people doing in parks. And when the television came to his city, you virtually couldn't find 50 people in that park, in that same park where there might have been 1,000 people just weeks earlier. You couldn't find 50 people doing anything. Hmm. People were enthralled, and people have been enthralled by the television and the movies, yeah.
Yeah, they have. I had my first experience with an ASCII anti-masker yesterday in Terrace, in my little town here, where I walk into a wholesale club and I tell them medical and they allow me to come in. They respect that. But I had somebody in there said, "How come you're not wearing a mask?" I very politely hit him with about 4 or 5 facts and walked away.
Uh-huh.
Didn't say anything else. Well, normally I don't even engage, but I'm at a point now where I've got to share a quick couple tidbits of information that might get them thinking. But that's actually the first time that somebody's ever asked me why I'm not wearing a mask and I should have a mask on. And, of course, my reply was very pungent and to the point. But never seen that in Terrace yet, so it's coming, even in Little Terraceville here.
Yeah. I had a chance to do it 2 weeks back. I went to a doctor's office, and it was on the second floor of the place that I had to go to. There's like 50, 60 doctors all, and half of them were on the first floor and half of them on the second floor. And I walked out of the elevator that I went to go to the second floor, and this older guy, well into his 70s, and his wife, he was pushing her along and helping her along. She had a walker and she had a mask on. He was helping her and he had a mask on. And he turned to me and he said, "You should have a mask on." I didn't say anything, but I thought about saying, "Yeah, I should have underwear on too," but I don't.
Well, you know what? If what I have found, Steve, and I've had these conversations with a few people now, is that if you hit them right away with hardcore facts and challenge them to prove you wrong, that you can get their attention, because people, maybe they're being controlled, maybe they're in a state of fear where they've never really thought about what wearing a mask does to your body. But you can hit them with information in 3 minutes intellectual individual will actually, it'll sink in a little bit. That's something you say in that course. I do it all the time. I want to get mad when people say that, but I'm really learning to control that in my body and my mind right now. I don't want to give that reaction to people. I just turn around with love and I tell them a couple things about what they're doing to their body. And I ask them to please look it up on the internet and have a very nice day. And I walk away, and what you're doing to people, they expect a negative reaction from you, Steve, and you're giving them the opposite. it really does have an effect on people. And I know I've wanted to blow up at people a couple times, and I just bite my tongue, brother. I really do, because I don't want to lose a potential ear, even if it's a negative ear at that point.
Yep.
People can and will have their minds change if they're given proper information. Just the fact that we have all these governments mandating the use of these masks, Steve, but they do not, none of them, talk about the proper use of a disposable mask. There is stringent guidelines laid down by the manufacturers of these masks, how they're supposed to be used. And if you go to their website, Steve, and you start reading it, you'll see that they recommend that you don't use a disposable mask.
Right.
Maybe at the most, they say 2 times. And even that has to be in the same day because bacteria grows in these masks. Well, if people go read these websites of the manufacturers and they understand that putting a mask on and off and using, I see people using them for 4 or 5 days, maybe longer. They hang them off their visor. They walk into the store. They take it off. They put it on. They take it off. They put it on. Every time they do that, they're allowing bacteria to grow in the mask. You're inhaling that bacteria back into your body. Bacteria never stops growing, folks. Once it has festered, it grows forever. And you're adding to it.
Yep.
The government, you don't hear a word about that on mainstream or guidelines or proper using these masks. You're mandating us to use this when I can prove to you unequivocally that it's having major damage to my body. And I haven't even talked about carbon monoxide intake or the reduction of oxygen or the effects on our white blood cell or our pH levels in our body. I studied all this by the reduction of oxygen, folks, and it's unbelievable. And here we are walking around with a mask on because the government's telling us to protect us against something that isn't there. Unbelievable, the level of brainwashing in our society, Steve. It really astounds me. I'm not a smart guy by any stretch of the imagination.
Neither am I.
Just figure it out.
Neither am I.
So if us couple dummies can figure it out, what's wrong with the rest of the world, Steve? What happened to the brain?
I didn't apply myself in school I didn't apply myself in high school here the last 4 years of my schooling. 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grades. I didn't apply myself because, well, I just didn't care much anymore. I knew that there was, you know, a lot of stuff wrong and just a lot of stuff I hated, and I just didn't apply myself. I was a C and D average student all of my grades because I didn't care. If I would have applied myself, I think I might have gotten B's, maybe even a few A's or whatever, but I just didn't care. I knew that there was something wrong way back then. I just couldn't put my finger on it, you know? It was a society, for the most part, that I didn't like.
Yeah, I was always in the principal's office when I was in school, and they kicked me out when I was in grade 9, told me that school wasn't where I belonged, and they were very correct about that, Steve. Because, I spent most of my time in the vice principal's office. But you know what? Mm. Everything I've learned in life has been through experience and real life experience. Lots of bad things happen. They teach you lessons. Good things happen. They teach you lessons. But it all gets you to where you are today.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
It does. It does.
And I hope it's good. Because I feel it's good. You know what, Steve? Honestly, in my life, buddy, and I've said this many times, that earlier in my life, I was a bad guy. I did some bad stuff, but you know what? I don't even recognize that person now. When you ask for forgiveness in your life, which I have, it takes that burden off my shoulders. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah.
The man I was earlier in my life, I don't recognize anymore. He's gone away and never will come back.
Yep.
So it worked for me, guys. I was an a-hole one time. Excuse my language.
No, I
think we all, a lot of my friends say the same thing, that, you know, and I look at them now, Stephen, they're really good people. I think it's all a process that we've gone through, a lot of us.
Yeah.
But we came out alive. We came out of it alive.
A lot of people were young and destructive. I was too.
I don't want to talk about some of the stuff in my life, man. Crazy, crazy, crazy things you do.
Yeah.
But you know what? I should have been booked out of here 3 or 4 times, Steve. Honestly, there's I can remember right now 3 really, really close experiences with death that, you know, I should have been booked out and I shouldn't be here right now, but I'm still here.
Yeah, there's been a few for me too.
I think I'm here for a reason.
There's been a few for me too, and there was some sort of a intervention that has put me here. I believe some sort of a force. Yep. Higher power.
It wasn't our time, Steve. It wasn't our time. And I honestly believe in my life we're not in charge of that department. that when my number is called and he calls me home, that's when I'll go. But I don't know the day, the hour, when it's going to happen. I have no idea. I could turn around and walk outside to take a pee and drop dead on the ground. We don't know.
That's right.
So all we can do now is be what we're supposed to be at this particular time and be the best person you can and share love with people. That really has an effect on people. It does, Steve. When you hit somebody back that comes at you negative with love, it just it stymies and they
it blows, go, well, it blows their mind, doesn't it? Reaction I was supposed to
get. You know, what happened to the reaction I was expecting so I could come back even harder? You know, because they want to vent their frustration for being locked up and told what to do all the time. And the noose is getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And people are getting crazier and crazier and crazier. It's working great for them, Steve. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I've been the same way. It depends on my mood, you know. And I've had people just blow a gasket, have a cow right there in front of me, and I just smile at them. Don't say a word, you know. And it, they don't know what to do.
It blindsides them. Anyways, what do you think is going to happen here in the next couple of weeks, Steve? Really? You think we're going to see a breakout of chaos in the States? Because I could see that being a real possibility here in the next, I'd say, 3 weeks.
You know.
What do you think, where do you think it's going to go, honestly?
Oh, I think, well, I've thought from day one, 11 years ago, that they have to create a war, a society war and a race war. Jürgen just sent me a message.
Yeah, he'll be ready. He's frothing at the bit to get in today. Yes, Steve. He is about to explode, he said. So watch out.
Yeah.
He promised no F-bombs. He promised.
I just told him yes. I just told him yes, so. Did he message you too?
Message me. He can come in early if he wants.
Yeah.
You know?
Send him a message and tell him it.
Well, you can. Go ahead and send it to him. If I do that, then I get distracted and I can't chew and walk and chew bubble gum. You know that,
well, I had a thought there, and then I read his message, and now I've lost my thought. Do you know what I was?
That happens to me all the time.
Do you know where I was at?
More and more all the time, especially when people are talking.
Yeah.
And I got a great thought. And then they talk about something else, and I go, what was that thought? And it's completely gone. But it comes back about 10 minutes later. It always comes back. So
it does for me. It will come
back before the show's over.
Sometimes it's a few minutes, but other times it's 20 minutes after the show. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Well, you know, we're all getting up there, Steve. I'm 66. I don't know how old you are right now, but
I'm 56.
No matter how much we fight Mother Time, it eventually starts to catch up. And I'm a really healthy guy still, but my body is starting to feel a few changes, and it's inevitable.
Yeah.
So I know is I got to fight it to the bitter end because I see a lot of people my age right now that can't even get out of the house. Man, they're just and they come to the store and they come in for coffee and they open up their pill container and they take their 7 pills they're supposed to take in the morning, and then they got the afternoon and the evening slot and they've got 7 or 8 pills in each of them. I know one guy here. He tells me he's taking 24 different pills every day of his life, and I just don't even know what to say to him at this point.
Yeah,
because they're so scared of losing their life that they will do anything that the doctor tells them. But what the doctor tells them to do is shortening their life by years if they could only get that in their mind. But they're terrified. They've been programmed all their life to believe what the doctor tells them is good. They don't believe, they don't realize that doctors are the biggest hypocrites in the world, that they work for big pharma, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead.
No, I do know, scientifically speaking, that they have studied us, as I mentioned many, many times. They have come to the conclusion that it takes people hearing a piece of information 7 times before it resonates with them. Have you ever heard the saying about, well, your kid doesn't like something to him, some kind of food or something, but if they try it the 8th time or the 7th time, they begin to like it? Have you ever heard that?
No, that's kind of new to me.
I've heard that before. 7. That seems to be a magic number.
Okay, well, I haven't tried dill pickles 7 times because I hate them. And you couldn't get a dill pickle.
Well, you
I could be on a desert island, Steve, and I could be starving to death, and there could be 10,000 pounds of dill pickles there, and I'd be swimming, buddy.
You might be
somewhere on that horizon. There's another island.
Well, you might be a lost cause, though. But
anyways,
but that's been the phrase I've heard. That's what I've heard over the years. If your kid doesn't like something, have it, or you know, try to not force him, but try to have your kid try it 7 or 8 times, and like I said, magically on that 7th or 8th time, the kid likes it. It's basically the same with information too. It seems to be that way, anyways. As far as the science goes.
Well, how come we've been, you know, how come the lies about 9/11 are still being buried and quashed in society? You know, that lie has been going on for almost, what, how many years now?
That's
20 years. How come we haven't?
They have.
I talked about it before, and it's something that drives me nuts because the evidence is so overwhelming that nothing the government has ever said is that any kind of merit at all.
Well,
that there's criminals walking free in our society, and it's got to be dealt with, I think.
It's easy. It's easy.
It's going to go on forever?
It's easy. Do you remember George Bush 2 or 3 days after September 2001?
Staying on a pile of rubble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice speech.
And his presidential speech also when he was in Congress. We're not going to put up with any crazy conspiracy theories. We're going to come after the terrorists. Well, the terrorists happen to be us. But Juergen's going to come in early, so I'm going to add him.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Sure. Sure. Always great to have him in.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you know what? Over the years, I've talked about it so many times, Steve. And actually, about 6 years ago, before I was here, I had Richard Gage in on a show once when I was over at Dark City, when I first started doing radio. Because 9/11 Architects of Truth was my wake-up call.
Yep.
And I reached out to him, and I got to interview him for an hour. And you know what, buddy?
I've got no speakers. I'm sorry, guys. Whatever's happening here, I have no speakers.
So you're not hearing us?
If I can figure out if you're listening to me.
We can hear you.
Hopefully this microphone's working. Now all of a sudden I've got a speaker problem. Just let me see if I can find this here.
Well, I sent you a message.
Goodness gracious.
You can't hear us. You'll figure it out.
Maybe.
Anyways.
All right, just turn your mic off there, Juergen. So me and Barry can talk.
Well, yeah. Anyways, it's something I've talked about for years and years and
years.
Going
to my settings. Crazy. I'm going to find something here.
This is unplanned, folks.
And, hold on.
Live professional radio. You got to love it.
Okay. What were we talking about?
9/11. Richard Gage.
Well, there is still people that are pushing it hard, Steve, and I believe the truth is going to come out about
that.
Just
the microphone, testing microphone. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
I can't hear you. I can't hear a word. I don't know what's going on here. I have no sound on my computer.
I'm going to drop him first and then send him a message.
Yeah, and I will tell you what. I'll tell you what. I could call him on the phone right now. Let me call him on the phone because I've got his number. And just you talk for about 30 seconds there, Steve, and I'll call Juergen. Say something.
Sure.
This is amateur radio hour. And
I just sent him a message and Skype.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, well, go ahead and call him, though.
But I will call him right now.
Sure. Just number. Go ahead and mute. I'll try to ramble on for 30 seconds here.
Okay, you do that. Okay, you do that.
Oh, wait a minute. Did he just send me a message? Okay. Yes. He's seen my message, so it's in his setting somewhere. Richard Gage. I asked him a few times, but I got tired of asking him, so I got a few other people on that particular subject.
Well, he must have liked me because he obliged me.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I basically, during the course of that interview, I basically threw questions at him. I know how I wanted to approach it. I just wanted him to speak. So I basically maybe said maybe 15 things during the course of the hour, about 4 or 5 words each thing. I was basically just throwing questions at him.
Right.
Because that was about a year and a half after what I call my wake-up call. When I watched that video, and it just absolutely floored me that night, Steve, that I could be so ignorant to what was actually going on around me. Uh-huh. It was just like a biggest wake-up call I ever experienced in my life. And, you know, after I watched that video, buddy, I could not, for 30 days, I literally was glued to the computer, and I was following rabbit holes. And I started looking over here, and I was looking over there, and I was going, holy smokes. It really floors you. It really does when you realize the levels of deception and evil that we're dealing with in the world that you're kind of a little bit aware of, but you're not really aware of. You get to that point, and all of a sudden, it changes your life forever. Once you realize that and you know that, you can never turn back. And I know you feel the same way.
Well, yeah.
Can't shut up.
It does.
We're obligated now.
It did.
Right for the long haul, buddy.
It did. You know, it was a bubble bursting experience. And, you know, you go through all of the emotions of, it says he's unavailable now. I just tried him again, but, I don't know. I'll try him again. I was mad. I was mad because I had been duped so badly it was a full 8 years. Till I come to the realization of my government and my mainstream media had lied to me. It was a full 8 years. I remember seeing in 2006, trying to find what, Jurgen? It's calling you. Enter your Skype. I don't remember what it was. 2005, 2006, I'd seen the... It must have been 2006, because that's when YouTube came out. Alex Jones and Charlie Sheen talking about September 11th, 2001, and Charlie Sheen said something about, call me crazy, but doesn't that sound like a controlled demolition?
Hey, Steve, you know what? Anybody that's looked at 9/11, and it doesn't matter what aspect, what event, what happened that day, you can find absolutely no proof. And I defy anybody out there listening to me say this. I defy anybody out there to show me any proof at all on what the government has told us about that day. Just a smidgen of proof.
Yeah.
And I will shut up forever. Because there isn't. There isn't one smidgen of evidence to back up what the government is saying. And it doesn't matter what we talk about, period. Full spectrum.
It's all about...
I studied it all, Steve, and it drives me insane that this is still allowed to go on in our world today.
It's all about getting the respect of people. As I mentioned, you know, the mainstream media has had the people's respect for, what is it, I don't know. When did TV... 55, I think, some of the first TV started coming to America. So, you know, that's been 65 years. The mainstream media has had the people's respect for 65 years. We've only had the internet for what, 20? Basically.
Well, yeah, about that. I think it, 2000, around 2000.
2000, yeah.
When I started hearing about it and looking at it.
I mean, really? Okay, 20 to 22 years, I think. It really started exploding about 97, 98. You know, we have a long battle ahead of us. And as I mentioned, geez, Jurgen, I sent you a message there. You should be calling me. He doesn't even see that message. Anyways, I'm going to try him again. But, you know, we have an uphill battle.
I hope he gets it figured out. Go ahead, Steve. Sorry, I didn't interrupt you.
I'm actually trying him again. So hopefully he'll see it ring this time. And
well, you know, of all the people I do get on, he's one of my favorites, Steve.
Yeah.
Him and, of course, I love talking with Roger. You know, like I said, I've been talking with Roger for about close to 8 years now. We actually did a show together, co-hosting a show for about a year and a half.
Right.
Years ago. And he's taught me a lot over the years, and I've checked a lot of things that he's told me.
I was on his network, Liberty Beacon, for a while. And then, you know, it just kind of went by the wayside there. I don't really know what happened to it. Not about to ask him, but, you know, I had a show. My show was on his network. So I've known him quite a long time, too. Probably going on close to 7 years.
Yeah, I've met lots of people in radio over the years. Some of them I've parted paths with. You know, I was doing shows with one gentleman there for years, and he kind of turned around and tacked me one time, and I found that to be very unjustified, that you have to listen to everybody's opinions, whether you like them or not. They're your opinions. And I try to listen to people, and I try to make sure that I respect people's opinions. That even if I don't agree with them, I want my audience to hear those opinions, because it gives them the opportunity to really roll it around in their brain and figure out for themselves which is right, yeah, which is right, which is wrong.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest problems we have right now, is the levels of censorship we see going on now, Steve, is full blown communism in our face right now. That what's going on with Facebook and Twitter. I was struck, Steve. I was struck for 30 days. I told you what they struck me for. All I said on Facebook is that traitors should be hung. I have seen so much stuff on there that is way beyond anything that I've said there. They struck me for another 30 days.
You know what you need to do, Barry?
Shut me up.
Huh? You can stop getting banned on Facebook. All you have to do is turn yourself into a black woman and be a House of Representatives black woman, and you'll get to
and
say
have
whatever
a
you want.
T-shirt on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get to say whatever you want.
If I was saying, "Hey, Trudeau's my favorite buddy," I would be getting support. They'd be sending me money.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got a couple of minutes till the break, so we can take about a 5 or 6 minute break, and you can call Jurgen on the phone and ask him what is going on, and then we can try to get him in.
I'll do that. We'll hang up on this. So maybe I'll hang up on this one for a few minutes, and I'll give him a call here on Skype, and you can call me back in here in about 5 minutes, Steve.
Well, I'll still have the link here. You can just rejoin the call again if you want or whatever.
Okay, I'll do that. Why don't I hang up on this, and I'll get Jurgen all straightened out, and I'll be back in 5 or 6 minutes, maybe even a little bit longer, and we'll go ahead and have a conversation with Jurgen.
I'll put about 5.5 minutes on. I'll put your same song we had on for the last break, so that's about 5.5 minutes.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Enough. Okay, I'll book out here for about 5 minutes. We'll get this sorted out, folks. I'll be right back.
Something other. Busy monster eats dark holes in the spirit world.
listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.
Welcome back, second hour, folks, and got to thank Steve for the conversation. The more conversations I have with Steve, the more I enjoy them. So maybe we'll have to do this again, Steve. anyways, good to have Jürgen Wallrath in for the third hour. One of my favorite people to talk to on the internet. I love his passion. I love his knowledge. And I love his understanding of what we see going on in the world today. I know Jürgen's had a little bit of a tragedy in his family here in the last 24 hours. So my heart goes out to his family right now. If he wants to elaborate on that, I'll let him. But there's some things on his heart today that he wants to talk about. And boy, it's great to have you back in, Jürgen.
Well, thanks a lot, Barry, for having me on the show. It's always a great pleasure to chat with you and the various guests you have on with us. It's always nice to be in a room with people that feel the same, that are researchers that look at what's really going on. I have a question, by the way, for Steve before Steve goes. I was wondering, based on the communism, the propaganda, everything that's happening in Canada, what it's like right now in the USA. What's going on in your part of the world down there, Steve?
Well, we started talking about this, and you asked me a particular question. And I started to talk about propaganda, and I decided to save it for on air. But have you ever heard of a term called full spectrum dominance, Jürgen?
I'm sorry, what was that? What was it called?
Full spectrum dominance.
Full spectrum dominance, yes, I've heard the phrase, yep.
It's a military term, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, what that means is they are hitting us. The circle has 360 degrees. They are hitting us at every single degree of that 360 degrees. And it's no mistake that it's a military term either, because I think militaries are ultimately in control of everything. You look at Project Monarch back in the 40s and 50s when they started to talk about the CIA and the military intelligence were going to infiltrate the media and Hollywood, and that's what they did.
Yeah.
I believe the story goes that somebody is brought up on the inside, and they're told that, you know, once you get out of the Army or Marines or whatever particular military outfit that you happen to be in, you're going to go right into the CIA and you're going to be groomed for mainstream news or a newspaper or maybe even Hollywood. I believe that's how it works. And, you know, these people are groomed. I mean, look at Barry Sitaro, a.k.a. Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
He was groomed from the age of four. From all indications, he was groomed from the age of four to be a Marxist.
Yeah.
Well, so was Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
From the time he was able to think, it was put in his brain.
Yeah, absolutely. There were two brothers in that family that have been raised communist. The other brother rejected it, and he's no longer with us. So that's just the way it goes in our country, unfortunately. Thanks a lot for that, Steve. If full spectrum dominance makes complete sense. I totally agree, because we lived it this week. And if I may, Barry, I'll just relate the story. This is basically, you know, we talk about COVID-19. We're living in this age of this so-called plandemic, scandemic, scamdemic, whatever the heck you want to call it. It certainly isn't a pandemic, or people would be dropping dead in the streets like a pandemic calls for, if you look up the definition of it. So we look at only COVID. We don't look at the economic aspect, the human aspect, the emotional aspect, the cost on humans other than the COVID. We're only strictly looking at COVID, and we're only looking at two ways to fix it, and that's with a mask and with a vaccine. Social distancing and all that other garbage. So you're right. The full spectrum dominance is coming at us. In our particular situation, my wife, Heather, now, because we live in Medicine Hat, her mom passed away God rest her soul, Gay. We miss you already, and someday, hopefully, we'll hook up again. Dear Gay's where she is now with Papa and other friends and relatives and loved ones.
Wow, what a blessed day.
Yeah, so she is there with them, and that's a wonderful thing. But here's the thing. Now, my lovely wife, who is the eldest daughter, who, of course, loves her mom, and now we're in Medicine Hat. She passed away in Ottawa, and now with COVID restrictions, we have to live the thought of what are the ramifications of travel in the time of COVID, in times of funeral and all this sort of stuff. How many people are going to be allowed to be there? Can there be a service? Is it allowed? What kind of restrictions are there on the air travel? What kind of things are going to happen on the way? My wife wears a mask at the grocery store for a half an hour, comes back, and she's got headaches for 3 days after. So mm-hmm. There's no way she could wear a mask, but she's going to be forced to in an airport and in an airplane. I'm 71 years old. It's wintertime. I said we'll hop in the car and we'll drive back to Ottawa. But based on the weather and how it could be at any given time in this country, I can't risk that either, really. I'm just too old for that. If I was a younger man, I'd certainly risk it. I'd just throw in the car and say, let's go. But we have obligations here as well to tend to. But, you know, so it's the personal situation. And I was looking at Twitter feeds all day the other day of people that were in similar situations as us. And boy, oh boy, it is catastrophic. There are so many people who have lost loved ones that have not been able to see them. The ramifications of all of this go so far beyond some fake flu type Singapore flu, sweet and sour sniffles, one fellow calls it. I mean, all they're doing is they're feeding into the what I heard today. It was a bit comical kind of thing, Barry. You probably like this statement. The homelessness industrial complex and their lobbyists.
Oh, no. Okay, just what I thought I heard. Go ahead.
Don't you love that one, hey?
I love it.
They're feeding into it because you look around, every city is growing the homelessness, and they're just feeding into it. But you don't see any of them dropping dead in the streets, do you? Right?
No, so, no, but they're exempt from that, man.
Right.
Just like Costco and Walmart.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, but this tragedy with my wife getting sick and finally deciding, you know what, we're not going to risk her traveling, because for the most part, what happens if she flies back to Ottawa and in the midst of this, they change the rules? Oh, we're in lockdown number three. This one's even heavier. Everybody's got to stay where they are for a month because they can flip those rules on a dime right now.
Yep.
Right. They can change everything on a nickel. Look what they're doing in Calgary to kids skating in a friggin' park.
Yep.
It is out of control. And it is time we all stand up to this. I watched my wife suffer. I had to take her to the emergency room. Her head was pounding. They had to give her intravenous and all kinds of drugs to make at least some of the pain go away. She's still in pain. And she's grieving, trying to grieve, while trying to figure out this mess of COVID, of traveling in the time of COVID and dealing with deaths of loved ones. It is the worst possible situation that anyone could think of to be in, especially in our time when I'm 71 years old, Barry, as you know, I'm no kid anymore. This is not, you know, we worked our whole lives in a capitalist system, in a free market society, believing on a future based on those principles that are driven by middle class ideals and all those sorts of things that is being crushed right in front of our very eyes. And it's just beyond belief that we have so many people willing to take the jackboot to the neck and say, can I have more, please? Because that's the situation we're in. And sadly, that's the situation Germany was in before all hell broke loose. Pardon my language, but that's what happened.
So Lord Jesus, please calm Jürgen's heart. Amen. That's all I can say right now, Jürgen, because I know what you're going through right now, brother. I'm shedding tears for you. I feel your heart, and it is absolutely something that I look at every aspect of what's going on in our society right now, and I'm shedding tears for children being isolated in schools and being forced to wear a mask. The trauma that's being implemented in these tiny little brains that is so unnecessary. The long-term effects that's going to have on society, the long-term effects this is going to have on society if we stopped it all right now, are beyond anything that I thought I'd ever have to deal with in my life. But here we are in a la-la land, absolute insanity beyond anything I thought would be possible. But it really goes to show you, Jürgen, the power of brainwashing, how long they've been working to get society to the point we are right now, how weak we have become. We are, you know, society are a bunch of spineless jellyfish that just do what they're told to do blindly. And it's like sheep being led to a slaughter right now. The trees are right in front of their face and they can't see the forest, Jürgen. And that's what we're up against. This didn't happen overnight. You know that, and I know that. It took them decades to get society to the point where we are now with everything they've done. And we could talk about what they've done for hours. Go ahead, my friend.
In the middle of all of that, you can go on Facebook and various other social media sites, and you can post videos of doctors and their testimonials and then get shut down by those social media sites for a month at a time. So we're in a very desperate time, and what I don't really understand is that we have some officials that claim to be white hats, that claim to be doing good for the people, that are doing absolutely nothing. It's just mind-boggling. We're getting the same kind of rhetoric everywhere from everybody, and it's just mind-boggling. It just doesn't stop. You know, you got fact-checkers telling you that what you see with your eyes, you didn't see with your eyes. You didn't really hear that statement 10 years ago. That guy really didn't say that. Fauci didn't say that in 2005. Gates didn't say this in his video here. All of it is just, like Stephen had said, like I totally, that is just so great, yeah. It's a
full-blown censorship. Absolutely. Full-blown censorship in our face right now. Yep. A duplicate of exactly what went on in Germany in 1933 to 1938. It's step-by-step copy exactly to the T of what happened there. Why are they using it again? Because it worked very effectively. You know, the one book, like I said, I've read, and I urge people to read this, is The Communist Manifesto. It was about 6 years ago I read that book, but it really gave me an understanding of all the different mechanisms they're using right now on society, that they use these mechanisms in conjunction with each other to attack every aspect of our life, turning us into spineless jellyfish with the drugs and the food and what they're spraying in our air. And that's just what we know about. And we talk about nanotechnology as something that absolutely blows my mind, what they can do with that and what these psychopaths would do with a weapon like that if they had it at their disposal. Boy, there's a lot of questions that we don't even have a chance to even begin to answer. It scares the crap out of me, Jürgen.
Yeah, and if, you know, conservative, it scares the crap out of everybody. I look around, you know, Barry, I just had a grandson born in June. I have another grandson being born any day now with my other son and daughter-in-law. They're beautiful, beautiful. It'll be my fifth grandchild, and these are such beautiful children. And every time I see them, my heart is just ripped apart seeing what is going on here. And, you know, I just don't understand it. But you're right. The education system, the entertainment complex, the massive propaganda by the media is certainly paying off for the demons that have put all of that in place. They are succeeding in their mission, as we see that we cannot get a critical mass of people to support these freedom rallies. I'm watching all over the country in big cities where we see, there's hundreds, sometimes thousands, sometimes you might hit 10,000, but you're not hitting 100,000, you're not hitting 200,000, where you should in a city of 2 or 3 million people at least, if people knew what the heck was going on. So that's what really bothers me the most. That's what scares me the most. It's frightening. I know there's very many people out there right now on the front lines, and if I was younger, believe me, I'd be everywhere with all of those people doing the best I can to stir up the troops. But I can no longer do that. I have to serve my purpose in other ways. However, that being said, it is very disturbing to see that there's not enough critical mass happening quick enough, because they are moving way quicker than we ever expected, right? So we're watching them move that quickly while we are still moving at a monolith pace of trying to rally the troops to gather more people into these. You know, I was watching Calgary today, and it was very interesting, the Calgary rally.
Yeah.
And what I noticed, the first thing that came to my eye, and I showed Heather, is the towers where they had put all the cameras this past summer, you remember? Because in that public square, and all I could see with all the various people doing their live feeds was all those cameras up there. And I'm thinking, those buggers, that's all they're doing now, is they're just doing facial recognition of everyone in that public square. So they're going to have everyone's information. This is just full blown, straight in your face, fascism, communism, call it whatever you like. I don't care. And like you said, the people just aren't waking up to it in masses big enough. You know, and we have conservatives in this country that you know, if they valued limited government or individual freedom, we really see that we really don't have any conservatives left in this country. Because nobody seems to value those things anymore. And here's a question I have for world health officials. All those experts out there, all those Dr. Hinshaws and all the TAMs and all of those, can I ask you one simple question? Why is it that all of you people, right from Ted Vos or whatever the heck his name is, that genocidal maniac that's the head of the World Health Organization, why is it that none of you care about people like me who get really, really sick when they wear a mask? Why is it that it doesn't bother any of you that people are getting pneumonia at a faster rate than ever before in history? Why does that not bother you? Do our lives not matter? Because that's what it feels like.
Absolutely. Well, just look at Bill C-7 they're trying to ram through Parliament, you know, with assisted suicide. Look at everything this government does. Everything is detrimental. I mean, what's going on with COVID? It absolutely drives me insane that we have turned our world upside down over a nothing burger, a complete nothing burger. There is absolutely nothing to it, period.
Yeah.
But where are we at now? And you're right. I mean, the rises in pneumonia aren't being discussed. The levels in bacteria infection in lungs that we're seeing now aren't being discussed. I talked to people that work at Tim Hortons. I talked to one of the young girls working there. She wasn't at work. I saw her in, where did I see her? I saw her in the store somewhere. But I just talked to her for about 5 minutes. I said, you wear this mask for 8 hours sometimes at a time at work. What do you feel during that course of the hour? She says, you know, I get headaches. I get dizziness. Yeah. I don't feel good. I've got issues coming all of a sudden inside my lungs. Well, you know, this is just one person I talked to. It's just crazy. You know, after about 2 hours, I'm starting to feel really nauseated at times. I can actually sit back and take a breather for a sec. But here they are. They're making minimum wage, and their corporate giants are enforcing this mandate on them. The detrimental effects on their body, some of them aren't going to show up for a couple of years. But here we are in this society. What happened, man? I'm sitting here going, well, my head's getting really sore from banging it against the wall, Jurgen.
That's really for sure. I saw a great meme the other day. It showed, you remember the movie The Matrix, right? Remember when showed the blue pill in one hand and the red pill in the other hand and showed Leo, Neo?
Yeah.
Said, which pill do you want to take, right? Now, while the new... there's a red pill in one hand, and in the other hand, there's a mask and a needle. So which one do you want? Do you want the red pill or the mask and the needle over here?
I'm trying to get confirmation on that story on that nurse that took that vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine, in front of the camera the other day, and she passed out. I've had two reports coming to me today, and I haven't verified it yet, but I'm sure it'll come out if it's true, but apparently she has passed away. So I haven't been able to verify it, so I can't say it's true, folks. But that would definitely maybe wake a few people up to a nurse standing in front of a camera showing the effects of the vaccine in real time, passes out, hits the floor. And if that lady lost her life, I'll guarantee you the rest of the frontline workers that were lining up for this shot are going to have second thoughts. And we really need to get this out to people. What they're doing with this vaccine is genocide. It's beyond anything I thought I would see in my life. I'm blown away that people would actually put something into their bodies without looking into a little bit of information about vaccines, just a little bit, the length it comes to public, how many years they have to do animal studies. All this has been completely thrown aside,
Yeah.
And we're the guinea pigs, folks. And now if this lady did die, my heart goes out to her family. But if anything good comes out of that, maybe it'll wake thousands of other people to what's going on here, Jürgen, because this is crap.
Hopefully that's what happens. I just can't believe it. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. Here's the new world we're living in, and this is how I see it from the left a little bit. The way they look at it, it seems that if it just saves one life, we should lock down and completely destroy small business. If we could just save one life, we should isolate everyone despite higher suicide rates. But if it just saves one life, we need to let the corporate giants thrive. If it just saves one life, all government workers continue to receive a full paycheck while told to work from home. If it just saves one life, we will restrict movement of all those who work from home except government workers. If it just saves one life, we must completely restrict Christmas, family gatherings, but let international flights arrive daily. If it just saves one life, only airport restaurants are allowed to service people indoors while restricting all other restaurants. If it just saves one life, you should wear a mask everywhere, no matter other physical harm it creates. If it just saves one life, you should inject yourself with something because technocrats say it's good for you. If it just saves one life, we need a great reset. If only we could just save one life.
I know.
That's another musing I had this week. I don't know how to write stuff. You know that. I like writing.
Yeah. And levels of insanity. I never thought I'd see these levels of insanity in people. I just, have we lost it? I don't want to say that. But I'm telling you, folks, if people don't wake up in mass like Jürgen is saying right now, what's going to come is going to be something so evil that I wouldn't wish it on my best friend. I don't know how else to say that to people, Jürgen, because I honestly believe that with the bottom of my heart that what's coming will – well, you know, the Bible tells us, Jürgen, that there will come a time when men will be cursing and grinding their teeth because of deceptions to the human race. And, boy, that one prophecy could very well come true in the very near future when all of a sudden the whole thing is turned upside down. You wake up the next morning and your dollar isn't worth – anything better than using as toilet paper, that everything is turned upside down, chaos erupts in society, along comes the solution to the problem. People embrace it widely because their brains are screaming. They can't feed their kids. They can't even go out of the house. Along comes the solution. Society embraces it, and we've lost it forever. That's a scenario that could play out very, very quickly in the world because they control everything. Jürgen, they control the money. They control the media. They got it all. And the sheeple just go, bah. Go ahead.
Here comes the great reset because they're going to make everybody broke. So they're going to come in on their white stallion and say, we can rescue you. Here's $1,200 a month, and you're going to be happy with it.
Yeah, you're not going to own anything.
No, that's right, and you're going to be happy. And here I watched an interview with you'll be very happy, Barry. You will love it, and you will love it every day, yeah? Double. Yeah, so Elon Musk was on a Joe Rogan broadcast. I watched the interview, and he said that as part of the Great Reset that he's going to be giving away his houses because he doesn't need them anymore and give away most of his wealth and all of this stuff. I'm looking at it and I'm listening to the interview.
Man, I'd be puking.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? You're actually saying this live on Joe Rogan's show that you're going to give? He goes, yeah, I've got like six houses or something. I hardly ever go to them. So it's kind of a waste, you know. So I think it's only fair. We got to start redistributing and blah, blah, blah. And
I'm sorry. I can't believe he came out and said that. Sorry, you gagged me there, Jürgen. I haven't heard that, but you know how much money he's worth, and even if he gave away all his houses, that man will never bring himself to the level that we are experiencing in our life. Period.
Exactly right.
He's in a completely different class. But what a propaganda tool, man!
Yeah, no kidding. No
well,
kidding.
Well, then we have all these celebrities coming out going, oh, the vaccine is great. We got them all. You hear it everywhere now. The vaccine's here. Yahoo, yahoo, we're saved. Man,
see,
man.
All the fake shots, all the fake pictures, all the fake pictures on social media of people getting jabbed.
Yeah, shots with the tops on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch the one? Hey, well, Pence took the shot the other day, and we studied that video extensively, and it is something is very, very wrong in that procedure, folks. For one, we do not see, do we see in that video him actually taking the serum out of the bottle? But that's not the question.
Yeah.
What we question everything in the process doesn't look right. So when you study it up close, you'll see something on the tip of the needle. You'll also see as the doctor, as soon as the injection apparently is done, you'll see the doctor make three or four pumps with his hand just off the camera. Look behind Pence, and you'll see the doctor go one, two, three pumps with his hand on the syringe, probably wanting to indicate that the syringe was empty. But if you look at the video, you'll see that very, very clearly. A lot of us are looking at that, and it smells. But you think Pence is going to take something like that? You think he's that stupid, Jurgen?
I don't think so.
Why? You know, this is a question I put to Roger today, and it's something I have to put to you. Why would Trump be promoting something like this vaccine, making it readily available, kind of promoting it, when he knows just as well as you do and I do the length of time it takes to bring a vaccine forward, the studies that are involved, the basic safety studies that have to be done before it's brought forward to the public. And then this one, they're ramping it up at warp speed. That is a question that I really have a hard time with, Jurgen. I have a very hard time with that question. What is your answer to that? What do you think?
Well, I'm kind of
to me, my friend. It really does. But go ahead. I want your opinion.
It begs a lot of questions when you think of the fact that Moderna, the chief shareholder, was Jeffrey Epstein before his alleged death.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of problems with any of stuff coming from Moderna based on what I'm hearing about all the tunnels that were connected to his New Mexico ranch underground, connecting all kinds of, I can't say certain words because I know we're going to get blocked. You know what we're talking about.
And it has
so much to do with AI cloning and all of that. There is so much going on that these people were involved with that is way beyond what any normal human being can even comprehend. So they tend to avoid it all, and that's why we're in this friggin' mess. Nobody wants to talk about these things, right? Getting onto a different topic, Barrick, if I can, because I know our hour slips away so fast. We're almost a half hour in.
Go ahead.
And I'd really like to go into something else, if I may, just for a minute.
Go ahead.
I was doing some investigating because there's been a lot of discussion about maritime law, admiral law, law of the land, common law, and all these certain kinds of different kinds of laws, correct?
Right, correct.
So what I did was I did some digging into Canada's free trade zones. And Canada's free trade zones, just so everyone listening can hear, they're kind of everywhere. I'm going to list the ones that are there. But in case you do not realize that we are under maritime law, which is a sea law of the pirates, basically, okay? You need to understand these free trade zones. Now, just listen to what they are. If you don't think we're under maritime law, you have to listen to – there are currently 9 foreign free trade zones in Canada. Okay, here they are. Windsor-Essex, and here's the second one, Edmonton's Port Alberta. If you believe there's a port in Edmonton, then you haven't got a clue what's going on. Another free trade zone is Quebec City. Another free trade zone is Cape Breton Regional Municipality. So the island of Cape Breton is basically access to any foreign dignitaries that want to come in and take whatever they like, basically. The next is the Halifax Gateway, which is basically that joins, right, New Brunswick and Halifax, Nova Scotia. Niagara is a free trade zone. And here's another really interesting one. Winnipeg's Centreport, Canada. That's what it's called. Winnipeg, Centreport, Canada. If you believe there's a port in Winnipeg, I have oceanfront property right here in Medicine Hat for you. It's okay. Right on the Pacific. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. And the other one, the last one, Calgary Region Inland Port. And if you believe there's a port in Calgary, hey, guess what? I got another oceanfront property. So we are, you know, if you don't believe that we're living under maritime law, just check that out, because these are regions where foreigners can basically come in and set up shop and do whatever they like. They've been given carte blanche. If you believe the government mantra that, you know, they're under strict government control, these foreign entities can come in, blah, blah, blah. No, no, no. This is all part of sustainable development and sharing Canada with the rest of the world on a come on in. It's all part of yours. Canadian citizens, be darned. None of you matter. The rest of the world matter more than you do. That's where we're at.
The end of sovereignty. And it's going to come very, very quickly, Jürgen, if we don't put a stop to it. But it's getting people to understand it. It's getting people to understand that. You know, what really kind of is a disappointment to me is that, like we've said so many times, that so much of this information now is public, that anybody that really wants to take a little bit of time out of their busy days, and people tell me, well, my day's busy, I got my day's full, I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. Well, you know, if something was this much of a threat to our future, you don't think you could take a little bit of time and look at it. I kind of challenge people with that thought, because really it doesn't take long on the internet for somebody that is really kind of sitting on the fence right now, a little bit of research and a little bit of questioning about why this is being done, why that's being done. Put a few of the rabbit holes together and you'll come up with a conclusion that Jürgen and me have come up with for years, that this is something that's really a threat to our future more than anything. Any war that we've been into, Second World War, fails in comparison to the threat this represents to our world right now. And yet Canadians just don't seem to have the blood coursing through their veins that their forefathers put there. Jürgen, why is that? What's happened to us? Well, we've talked about it many, many times, all the different things they've done to our bodies, to our minds, to our souls. But it's all connected, my friend. Everything they've done is connected. Go ahead.
Yeah, it certainly is. And we've seen this path for so long. I remember as a young man, and like we talked about before, supporting that wicked evil Pierre Trudeau, and not so much him, but the people before him that actually set him up and told the rest of Canada that this guy was the answer, and how the media sold us that. Like, it was like unlike anything ever before. This country had never seen any kind of political movement like the one that was created after the Second World War. The country, I feel, was given enough time to sort of heal and grieve and sort of soothe itself after so many young Canadians were killed during the war. The country was given a chance to sort of come back. They were given a little tidbit of pleasure, so that you had the 1950s and 60s, which were a time of abundance and joy and singing and dancing, and everybody, you know, dad would go to work, mom was at home raising her 3, 4, 5 children. She'd prepare the meals. Dad would you know, scrape by. He'd make enough money to buy a little house in the suburbs eventually. I know. I remember my dad in 1961 buying his house. It cost him $14,000 with a $500 deposit and $125 a month mortgage for 25 years, and then it's paid off. Life was simple. And then along comes the time after that. They gave us, I guess, 15, 20 years. The 60s, they developed subliminal advertising that came along. And so they were able to develop the subliminal advertising along with the educational system, and they melded it in with the entertainment. Specifically, I think one of the main things was Disney. They used Disney very, very early in the 60s, because it was the biggest draw on television, 6 o'clock on Sunday night. Every family in the Western world that had a TV in the 50s, 60s, were tuned into Disney, and then Ed Sullivan, probably for parents who let their kids stay up, right? I remember those times. It was a very, very special time, because the TV would turn off at night when it was time for everyone to go to bed, and and all you saw was that Indian face on the screen, right? They had this
I remember it well.
I remember at the time that my father would complain because and my mom because they showed commercials during the show and they interrupted the show. It seemed crazy to them because over in Europe, they showed the commercials at night at 10 o'clock. They ran commercials for an hour. If you wanted to watch commercials, you could watch them from 10 to 11. Mm-hmm. And then they turned off the TV. So yeah. It was a whole different thing, right?
Yeah, our Saturday nights were always the Beverly Hillbillies and then Hockey Night in Canada.
There you go.
That's what we did every Saturday night, and we all sat there and watched it.
Speaking of Hockey Night in Canada, if I may cut in, Barry, Canada, I want to know that I've been nominated to be the head of the CBC by a friend of mine in Montreal, Robert Daniel. He nominated me to become the head of the CBC, and I accepted. I said, I will go on every show from now on, and I will promote to the Canadian people that they rise up and elect Jürgen Vollrath head of the CBC. When I become head of the CBC, I promise to bring Don Cherry back. Don Cherry will come back and Ron McLean will be fired. We will do the complete opposite of what they have done. We will take all the offices over, and I pledge to fill every office in that building, that the head office of CBC, with true patriots that love this country, not people that have taken this country over and want nothing but harm and believe that we should belong to a United Nations of nations run by despots and tyrants. I'm going to run the CBC for the Canadian people. Now, the CBC is the one entity that is owned by the Canadian people outright. We pay for it through our taxation. Without our money, they do not exist. It is up to us to take it over. We do not go to the politicians. We go directly to CBC. We gather at the CBC buildings in every jurisdiction. We don't go to the town squares anymore. We go directly during the week to a CBC building and we take over the building. That's what we do. And then we call for Jürgen Vollrath to be the president of CBC, and we will call in the right people to put the path of information in the right hands so that Canadians can understand what's really going on, and within 3 months we'll turn this ship around. And that's my pledge to the Canadian people, right here, right now. I'll provide a resume if needed.
Well, Jürgen, that would be a very good day for Canada, because what's going on with the CBC is a travesty, that we are paying for our own destruction, being supplemented by the government. Why? Why is that going on in our society? We own the CBC, and what we hear of the CBC is just absolute garbage, followed by garbage, followed by garbage. They need to be held accountable for what they are not exposing to the Canadian people. The only way we have an informed society is if people are allowed to hear all sides of a story. And what Jürgen talked about a little while ago there about doctors coming out all over the world talking about what COVID-19 is doing to our society, all aspects of our society and our economies, and everything in our world is turned upside down over, like I said, the biggest nothing burger in the world, something that has no more power than a common flu. Stuff that we've been dealing with for years, all of a sudden is a pandemic, that it doesn't even come close to the description of a pandemic by description, that the word pandemic, of course, brings the word panic into somebody's mind, which brings the word fear into your body, into your soul. Our society is turned upside down over nothing, absolutely nothing. And man, people really got to get on this, Jürgen. And, you know, we can talk, and maybe today somebody heard the message. That's all we can hope.
You know, we have a big problem in that lies are kind of mandatory through government and media.
I got the solution.
Okay, well, what's your solution?
Shock collars. Buddy, you know, listen, well, look up, Jürgen, honestly, you know, they're there to represent us. They're there to represent our wants and our needs. Put on a shock collar, guys, and the first time you say a lie, you get 1,000 volts. The second time, you get a couple thousand. The third time, we're going to carry you out of here. And the next guy probably will respect the collar a little bit more. Jürgen, it'd be all settled in a week. It'd be all over because it'll be dead.
You're right. It's flying on the floor of the House of Commons. Yeah, twitchy. Hey, listen, I remember in the Soviet Union, you remember Alexander Solzhenitsyn, I remember one of his quotes was, something to the effect, in our country, he said, the lie has become not just a moral category, but a pillar of the state. And that's, you know, you look at it today and what Steve had said earlier about the propaganda in the U.S. I know Obama passed that bill, I think it was in 2012, where he allowed state propaganda, where he basically said you're allowed to lie. I think they had passed a law in the 50s that said you're not allowed propaganda, you can't lie. And then he rescinded that. So and here, of course, in Canada, every bit of our media is paid for, as we've talked about so many times. But like you said, the lie has become a moral category. It's not a moral category. It's a pillar of what they do. They based everything on a house of lies. If we can just take one of those lies and break it apart, I believe the awakening could just rise so quicker. So much quicker, right?
Well, talking about an awakening, you know, this video that surfaced, of course, of the hockey player that got manhandled by those Calgary cops. Think that has, well, you're going to, you know, the feedback I'm seeing and hearing it everywhere, that people are absolutely enraged. Well, maybe a couple more of these events and the sleeping Canadians will finally get it, that this maybe might be her boy over there. Is that going to come and happen to your kid next? And maybe something like this, even though it was barbaric, maybe a few of those are really necessary right now to give the Canadian people a slap and wake them up, because we need the mass right now. We really do, because like you said, Jürgen, they're ramping up this agenda so fast. Oh. Stuff I see coming right now, it's absolutely light speed. Stuff I thought I might see a year from now is now being mandated. We hear the Calgary City Council wants to mandate masks up to the end of 2021, December. Well, how do they know what's going to go on for the next 6 months? Because they know that the end of this medical emergency will never happen till the people stand up, Jürgen. There's no intention. Same thing in British Columbia. They've extended the medical emergency till the 8th of January. Well, anybody out there that believes it's going to end on the 8th of January, I'd take bets right now, and I will take your money. Yeah. Because it's not going to go away, folks, till you stand up. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse, folks. Go ahead, Jürgen. What else can I say?
You have the proof in the fact we're living it, because they originally said it's going to take us 2 weeks. So
proof. 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Flatten the curve in 2 weeks, it's all over. But what they did was then say, okay, now everybody in the heat of the summer, wear your mask to make sure you get really sick in the fall, which is what they did. And then, of course, they blame everything on, and we've gone through this. This is all recycled stuff. It's enough to drive you crazy. You know, and here we're looking at a situation where we've got 70% of the Western world is employed by small business, and it's being pummeled. You've got people losing their businesses. You've got suicide rates going up, and it's all about this nonsensical pandemic, where if it was a pandemic, you'd see the homeless industrial complex at the streets of Parliament saying all our people are dying. But they're not. So it's absolute insanity. Like you said, we've all said it and we all know it. It's just a question now, what the heck are we going to do about it? Because if we don't do anything, we are the ones going to keep paying for this. You're absolutely right. It's not going to stop. You think they're going to stop with one kid on a skating rink? If we don't stand up to that, they're going to go for the whole bunch of kids. And here's what I think is going to happen. Let's see what happens with this Calgary thing and how many people are going to be sent tickets now from that rally that happened today. You know, with all the cameras over there, I'll bet you everybody's going to get a ticket in the mail.
I hope they all do, and I hope we flood the courtrooms, because we will blow this out of the box in the courts. We know that, Jürgen. So I'm praying they all get tickets. But I also got – I had a little conversation with somebody that's involved there last night. And I'm not going to mention his name right now, but he told me that 34 individuals already taken cops' badges, names, and are going to file civil – what is it – suits against every one of these cops tomorrow. 34 people are apparently going to go do that tomorrow morning in Calgary for what went on with the skater for one, but not that so much. What happened in the riot downtown afterwards? Yep. You saw the video of that. It almost turned into a full blown riot. Almost. That's where people. That's how close people are. So you know, Calgary's a powder keg right now, and the whole country is watching. and the country is really starting to ask some serious questions about the levels of police brutality, but more so of how the police are being used to enforce draconian illegal measures, because that's what they are. They're totally illegal. They do not meet the requirement of a declared health emergency in any shape or form. Prove me wrong, somebody. Go ahead, Jürgen.
Yeah, there was a... I'm trying to remember. I think there was the lawyers were asking the court to save Christmas, right? Back on December 16th, I think Rath and Company, barristers and solicitors were retained by Freedom Corporation. They appeared in court, I think, on the 15th of December, where the government of Alberta requested an adjournment, claiming to the court that they required additional time to gather evidence to justify their lockdown orders. So they had no... a jurisdiction to put a lockdown orders in place. They said to the court they needed additional time to gather evidence to justify their own decision to lock down. I mean, does it get more Twilight Zone than that? It's absolutely unbelievable. It's the outer limits of reasonable logic. You know, they lock us down. Somebody goes to court and says, well, we object to the lockdown. And then they say, okay, well, just let us find some proof why we locked you down, and then we'll get back to you. That's what's going on here.
Well, you know what, Jürgen, it's driving me insane. It is. I have to, you know, I'm finding Jürgen, and it's good for me, but I'm finding I go for walks in the bush every day now. I do.
Good for you.
Because awesome. Honestly, buddy, we all feel it. We are being overloaded with information. We're being bombarded. And anybody that's a public figure of any kind right now is seeing a real surge in inquiries coming from people that were kind of maybe sitting on the fence. And all of a sudden, they're really starting to engage. I'm seeing that in my little community here where, sure, I have a lot of them that are still walking around with a mask that just don't get it. But I am seeing a lot of people all of a sudden waking up, and that's encouraging. But what you said earlier is so important that I think the conversation that anybody's listening to this show today might take away is that around the Christmas table, when you get together with your families this year, these conversations that me and Jürgen have engaged in the last hour should be a priority. They really should, because there is nothing more important than the future of our children. And right now, man, it is very, very bleak, but I'm not going to give up, Jürgen, until there isn't a breath in my body. I will fight this to the death. I know you will too, and I just wish the rest of Canada would embrace that courage and that passion and the understanding of what is coming for our world if we allow this to go on. It terrifies me, but in the same mouthful, I understand that this is going to play out. I believe it's going to play out the way it's supposed to play out. I'll leave it at that, because my Bible tells me what is going to come and how it's all going to play out. And that millions will be led astray, and there will be the rise of a one world government. Whether that will happen, that remains to be seen, Jürgen. But if I was a betting man, I would bet on what it's told me in the past has come correct. What it tells me about this particular time in history is correct. And what it's telling me about the future, I have to believe, is coming to pass. So I start my day with prayer, buddy, and it works for me. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
It works for me.
Yeah.
It brings a peace in my soul. And I talk to Jesus when I walk. So
yeah, it works. There
it is getting totally insane out there. It really is almost overwhelming.
I feel very bad for those who don't have prayer, and I pray for those who don't, because it's one of the things that keeps us going, that's for sure, on a daily basis, you know. And we're living in a time that is how would you say it? I mean, the weight that is borne on every soldier of every shoulder of every responsible person right now is almost unbearable. But we do have the fact that in the end, God wins, and we know that he does, and we do have that faith that carries us through. But we have to remember as well that with that faith comes a responsibility to defend the faith.
Yes, it
does. It's not just some kind of peaceful mantra to lie down and take the sword, the chop to your head. Yeah, we must stand up with the armor of God and defend that faith. Otherwise, we're going to be swallowed up into this I don't know, the quagmire of just deception. deception and lies and evil and demons that surround us. We have to gather in the knowledge that with prayer and with thoughtful meditation comes this inner peace and strength that allow you to ride these storms, because it's the only thing that's keeping us going. And it does give you an inner peace. It does. And I'm so...
We lost you.
Yeah, you might be having a little internet glitch here. There.
Yeah. All of a sudden we lost Jürgen's audio here. What happened there? Maybe he hit a button, maybe? I don't know.
No, I think his internet might be a little wonky.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, we lost
yeah, there you are.
For about 30 seconds, Jürgen.
Really? I didn't touch anything. I haven't moved.
They just don't like us talking, buddy. You know that. They can do it anytime they want. Go beep! Okay, we don't want him talking for 30 seconds. We'll throw a little wrench in there. Go ahead, Jürgen.
By the way, to all of our CSIS friends and all of those people who may be listening, you do know how to spell Nuremberg, right? And I suggest to all of you who follow these unconstitutional orders, not only unconstitutional, orders that go against the rights of humans. All of you who follow those orders, just realize there have been trials in the past, and your defense of I was only following orders will not cut it. It will not make it.
Absolutely. People need to read the Nuremberg trials. They also need to read the Geneva Convention and read all the stomping on our rights that these governments are doing to us right now. Even the so-called Charter of Rights and Freedoms is being stomped on, and there is no pushback. Well, what does that tell the government? What does it tell these evil entities that they can basically do anything because they're not getting a pushback from society? People should be in the streets, but that's not going to work. What is going to work, Jürgen? And you hit it earlier. Surround CBC. Demand accountability. Take the stations over peacefully. And there must be a legal way we can do that. I'm not sure, Jürgen, but, you know, extreme times require extreme actions. And it's our responsibilities. It's our responsibility to do so. Go ahead.
You know, Barry, about 20 years ago, I was sitting in the downtown at City Hall of Ottawa. And I had sold a beautiful home to a fella. And to expedite the construction of that home, I brought the blueprints down to City Hall, to the appropriate department, and going to see the inspector that was responsible for getting my septic permit. And so I went to see him, and I was shocked when I went into, I guess, three or four stories up at City Hall, and I went into this area where all the doors were locked. There's no glass. There's no nothing. You can't see anything. It's so cold. And it just hit me. It was like, oh, my God, like what happened to our transparent society? This is all so closed door locked. Everything is locked. I went into this area. They had basically had this area where you could sit with a few people. They had phones where you could call the extension to the person you're trying to have a meeting with. So I sat down in this area, and they had a place for a receptionist, but apparently the budget wasn't there to have a receptionist to help me out with who I was looking for. So anyways, I was looking for this one particular fella. I sat down in the chair, and as I was sitting there, I made one call to his extension, and I left a message, and I figured, okay, he's not in his office. I'll wait a little bit until he gets back to his office. And in the meantime, I'm watching people go in and out of this door and in and out of this other door. And you don't hear anything behind it. All you see is the door opens, the guy goes in and out and in and out. And I'm sitting there, and this other fella comes, and he's dressed to the nines. Like he's got this suit that's worth a few thousand dollars. I was really impressed. You know, you can tell when people are very he's got a lot of money. This guy was very wealthy. Apparently, he was the designer of the entire Rideau Street project at one time that changed the look of downtown Ottawa, with all these glass structures and things like that. But he told me as he was sitting there, he said, this is the worst city in the world to do business with. I'll never come back here again. I said, oh, okay, that's great news to know that the capital of Canada is a place where people don't want to do business. That's awesome news for Canada, isn't it? Anyway, so
I'm waiting to get in touch with this building inspector. I made that phone call two or three times, leaving a message, never answered my message. People kept coming in and out, and I kept asking them, are you this person? Are you this person? Nobody. Finally, a guy comes out after about 2 hours of me sitting there. I said, are you this person? He says, yes, that's me. I said, oh, that's strange. I didn't think you were in there because I've left three messages on your voicemail sitting out here for the last 2 hours. Oh, well, what can I do for you? I said, I need this, if you don't mind. I wasn't like that. I was very diplomatic and nice and sucking up to him because I felt if I wasn't nice to him, I wouldn't get my permit. That's what's happened in this country. That's how bad it is. You've got these people, even that little guy sitting in his little office. He can leave me standing there doing business in the private world, making tax money for him so he can have his job. And he holds me up from doing my job, acting like the god, because he's the one who gives approval for me to do this project. That's a problem. That's got to change. Those locked doors and all those people in those positions hiding behind those locked doors has got to go. It's got to go. That's a big part of our problem. There's no transparency even at the municipal level anymore. We can't get anything from these people, and they're all going to be held accountable. Nuremberg starts with an N, and it's going to be Nuremberg 2.0 for all of you. And that's all I've got to say to them.
Okay, so Jürgen, we've only got a couple minutes left. Real quick, what do you think is going to come down in the United States in the next couple weeks, 3 weeks, and a minute or so, 2 minutes? Quick thought, and then we're going to have to shut the show out.
In the United States, I would say everybody just stay positive. I think you're going to see things come out that is going to blow your ever-loving mind. We're going to find out things that, you know, one of the things people ask me about this all the time. One thing you must remember, you've heard from Rudy Giuliani. You've heard from Sidney Powell. You've heard from Lynn Wood. You've heard from all these other people. You've heard from Texas and all of the states going after this. The one person who's the most important you haven't heard from is Jake Sekulow. Just remember that, and his team. You've heard from his son, but you haven't heard from Jake and the rest of his team. He's the number one lawyer on this. He's the guy that's got all the good stuff, and it's all going to the Supreme Court, and that's where it's going to come to a head. And one way or the other, there's going to be some heck to pay, that's for sure. But in the end, we're going to win.
Yeah, lots of different thoughts and lots of different theories about what's going on down there right now, but we know something's going to give. It has to. This madness has to come to a stop one way or the other. And where it ends up in the next couple of weeks, well, it's going to be an interesting time, I believe, coming up. I hope they just don't do it before Christmas so we can at least have a Merry Christmas.
Trump had to show the people, Barry. He couldn't tell them. He had to show them. People had to see it. They couldn't be told what's going on. They had to see it for themselves. And as more proof comes out, more people will see it. And that's what I believe. I hope. I hope. That's all we can do. Stay positive. That's all we can do.
And I'm going to end this conversation today with one more thought with you. Have you been watching earthquake activity around the world, Jürgen? Because it's blowing my friggin' mind. I don't know if you've looked at it at all. Probably, maybe you haven't. But quick thought on that, and then we have to say goodbye. Ready? Real quick. Have you looked at it at all? Because it's incredible.
I have looked at it. I've also looked at the massive iceberg that's heading towards one of the Sandwich Islands. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, I saw that.
200 miles long, and it's only 30 miles from the island now. Like, it's just crazy. So, yeah, there's insanity happening all over, the earthquakes, the volcanoes, the underground volcanoes, what I believe is the dumbs in a lot of areas getting blown up as well. So there's a lot of stuff happening. It's incredible. What a time to be alive.
It is. Get your popcorn, man.
You're right. Get your popcorn. Stay positive. That's all I can say.
I'll end the show with one thought today, folks. If you've been able to do any kind of prepping for bad times, I hope you have. We've been talking about it for years. If you haven't, and you still have that ability here, in I believe a very short window, I would very, very strongly suggest you do that. I've said that many times. It's always better to be prepared for a rainy day and hope it don't rain. But if the rain comes, you want to have an umbrella. So I'll end the show with that. Hey, Jürgen, you know what? I really enjoyed this conversation today. Your last thoughts and where people can find you, and we'll have to shut her out, bud.
Well, I'm not sure where people can find me anymore because I've just been shut down from Facebook. Probably I'm going to end my Facebook career at the end of this year. I can't stand the censorship anymore. My Twitter account is Prairie_Patriot. You can find me on Twitter, but I don't do much there, and they're blocking me there as well. I am on Parler at Volrath House. I'll maybe do some stuff there. We'll see what happens in the future. I may pop up on another network somewhere. We'll see.
Well, we need your voice out there, Jürgen. So I know I'm going away from Facebook myself. I've already told people that I'm going to other platforms, and I hope that other people will start building those platforms very quickly so we can communicate without being censored, because I'm sick of it. What they did to me on this strike, kicked me out of Facebook at Christmas time when I want to wish everybody Merry Christmas. I cannot do anything right now, and they've expanded the reach. Before it was posts and comments. Now I can't do anything, period, completely shut down. Outside of those parameters. So they've really ramped up their agenda, and I'm sick of it, just like thousands of other people, millions of other people.
They don't like us, Barry. They don't like us.
Well, they hate us. They hate us. And we're on the top of the list, so I hope I am. I hope I'm getting close. I'm at least somewhere up at the top of the list, or I haven't been doing the job that I know I need to do right now, Jürgen.
That's right. We're on the list for sure.
I hope they put us in the same concentration camp so I get to shake hands and give you a hug. whatever comes after that. Okay, brother, it's been great, Jürgen, and I look forward to our next conversation. Just 3 hours, folks. I've enjoyed this immensely today. I get people in like Jürgen, and he just lifts my soul. I had a great conversation with Steve. I want to thank Steve for that. And, of course, my first hour with Roger is always a show I look forward to. I hope you guys have enjoyed the programs today, and I'll be back next week, same time, same place. God bless you all. You all have a great week, and keep your feet on the ground and take a walk in the woods for me. Thanks. Be back next week.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.